Father, we thank you that you've given us such an understanding of your ways to communicate to us, Lord, by your word, the conduit of the Holy Spirit to bring wisdom through your word, knowledge, enlightenment, inspiration, to bring life, light. That causes us, O God, to be so influenced and causes our feet to walk in thy ways. For your prophet taught us there's not such as of a prevailing power as the power of revelation, Father. Revelation is enlightenment that comes through your knowledge, your wisdom, through your thoughts. This is your great logos concept, Father. That we might be able, Lord God, to change from the concept that is from creation to the concept of the great Creator. To look beyond ourselves for wisdom. To look beyond ourselves for life. To look beyond ourselves for happiness. And look unto the hills from where everything cometh from. We are thankful you have given us a heart to look up. You said, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God. And God to us is he who could supply all our needs. So we're not ashamed this morning to say, Lord, that we are a needy people. That one man cannot help another. A brother cannot save a brother. This is your way, that we might look up. For without our needs, you cannot show yourself as God, Father. It is through needs that we can petition you. We can show our faith that we are looking to thee and we are convinced and persevering that only from thee our help cometh from. It's in these needs, O God, that you are able to show your goodness and your kindness and that you care it for us. Lord, and when it comes to pass, we are so grateful and thankful that we lift up your name in boasting, in thanksgiving, in praise, and say that there is none like you and that you care it for us, you love us, you made a way for us. Oh, we are so thankful for your great grace in our life, remembering, O God, the needs that are among us. Thanking you for delivering my mom and dad. Realize this thing called age is not of you, God, Father, but for you from ancient of times. There is no beginning with you, Lord. But for us, these bodies, Lord, they grow old and weary. And I pray that you help them for the rest of their days to live it out, that they might have the strength to serve you. Remembering Brother Bill and the elderly ones that are among us and the ones who are just about those age. Remembering our precious sister, our elder, Sister Willingham, what a great strength and pillar she has been to this ministry and the flock. We so love her and so appreciate her, Lord. And we are so grateful that you have allowed her to be a part of our lives and your blessing, and certainly appreciate her, Father. Thank you for the miracles you've done amongst us. Seeing Brother James sitting there, bringing him back from the lowness of life and death, we appreciate it, Father. Your mercy is upon him and upon us to encourage us that you care it for us. Remembering the ones that are not well. Seeing Sister Kemp singing this morning, just the other day, she was so under the weather. We appreciate all that you do for us. And even that which we don't even know that you do, Lord, we give you praise. Remembering, O God, the flock, wherever they'll be guarded, Lord, and Brother Joel in Barbados and Brother Dennis as they guard the different ones that we are affiliated with, Brother Ace in Abu Dhabi. Lord, we are just grateful. mindful of Brother Hine. May you continue to strengthen him and make him a greater and greater pillar, Brother Angus' father and the family, Sister Antia and the group there, Sister Lucy, and I just pray your mercies upon them, Father. And as we welcome Brother Ansel from Cape Town, Father, you know the desires of their hearts. You know what they want to accomplish. You put a thirst in them, O God. You are the one who put the thirst, and you are the one who will fill that thirst, Father. You are the desire, and you are the water to bring it, O God, to satisfaction. You are doing it all, Lord. I pray that you give them a heart to understand. Give them the gene that they might build upon. Whoever will be guarded with them, may you bless them, Lord, as they search and they seek for thee. Give us the wisdom, Father, to be friends with them and friend them into eternal life. For a friend stick it closer than a brother. Even to lay down their lives of service one for another. Thank you for the body of Christ here. Thank you, Brother David and his family, Father. And we are thankful for the elders that you have given us, Father. How we love them and how we appreciate them here. Commit it all in your great hands now, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I invite you quickly to the book of Matthew chapter 7:15. I'll just read a couple portions of scripture and make a couple comments. The year is winding down quickly, and ask the Lord to, who has brought us thus far this year, to continue to inspire us, help us, and make sure that you make your own assessment where you are in the Lord. Are you growing? Are you learning? Is your Bible becoming a new book? These are questions you must ask yourself. Are you excited? Amen. Is that right? I hate to come to church if I'm not going to get excited. I like to be excited in church. Amen. I like to know that he is dropping these nuggets along the way to encourage me in the right direction. Amen. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? You may be seated. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree. Now, this is very important. Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot, impossible. Is that right? Bring it forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring it forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, you will know them by their fruit. And by their fruit you'll know them. All right. Now, before we go into the service, yesterday we had a wonderful dinner evening with the officers and the and their wives, for those who are married. And we really enjoyed it. We just wanted to do that and say how much we appreciate each and every one of you, and for their labors of love and sacrifice for the bride of Christ. And may God continue to bless you. The best things that you can do for God is to serve His people. Is that right? And so this is, I believe, will be my last service on a subject, and I'm not going to take a subject, continue with the subject matter. Maybe next year we will start again for the next couple of services. I don't know how many services we have left. I think someone told me we got two. Or are they over? Okay, well, we'll have to talk with Brother Jones. But whatever services that we have left, we are going to use them just to talk about the season of the that's upon us. And we normally let you off because we are going to close our books off. If you've got whatever you have worked out with the church for the year, I know Brother Nate's got the books. Make sure you find it. Close off your accounts and so forth. Those of you who know what I'm talking about. And let them have a clean slate for the new year. And pray that the Lord will continue to bless our brothers, to continue to lead us and guide us in the way of the Lord. Amen. And so the next couple of services, we are just going to try to do something that will edify us all about maybe the Christmas holiday, Christmas season. Amen? All right. With that being said, we have also, I got a note from Brother Hine that Brother Ansel from Cape Town has started streaming. My schedule was to be with them last week, and of course, because of so many things that are going on, we weren't able to do it. But I'm hoping maybe January, either the middle or end of January, to make arrangements to be with them, and to at least present to them the things that we believe that are important for us in this hour, the things that I believe is the heart of the message, that without those fundamental truths, can be in a very message of the hour and be an idol worshiper, have another gospel, believe you are born again and converted, and that will be the one in a million that will be able to receive it. All right? And so that's the great danger of the hour. The Laodicean age is the great age of deception. It is deception in every way possible. The prophet showed you from the very television advertisement how they lie to you. And people love them to lie to them. And so your commercials, your products, everything, it's all about how to present it and dress it and put the right kind of pictures, words, colors, slogan, whatever it is to make you buy the product. A lot of time you just buy the advertisement. You just buy the label because it looks so real, it looks so nice, and when you really get it, it doesn't do what it's supposed to do. Or it causes you problems, has such side effects and different things. So it's a great age of deception. And it's a great age of deception, but most of all, it is the age of impersonation. It's the age of impersonation. It's the age of impersonating Michael Jackson and Michael Jordan and, you know, and you see the boys walking around with their fingers like this. Somebody started that. Is that right? And then somebody walking like this, and, you know, and then say, what is it? It's the age of impersonation. Somebody started it. Is that right? And, you know, and somebody wearing the cap on the side and, you know. And now it's now you see this resurgence in America of black and white again. About, you know, white shooting blacks and the uproar that the justice system is not right and the perception. And what is behind all of this is the devil. Because what the devil is doing, the devil is sowing through Hollywood the majority of gangs and different people. They don't show white gangs. They show Hispanic gangs and black gangs. And then they show how the gangs dress and how they operate. And so by the time you meet somebody in an alley who dress like that, even though they're not a gang member, you already pulled a gun even though you ain't got one. It's already sowed fear in your mind through Hollywood. And so you have this line that is drawn of freedom not to be judged by what you wear and who you are, but no matter how much freedom you got, when you're somebody scared to death because they've already seen it on television, people who dress like that are bad people, they just label it. You see? So if I was you, I would teach your children to dress in a way that is different from the way Hollywood says a hood dress. You say, well, that's my right to dress how you want. Well, you got a chance you take out there. It's a chance you take out there, see? Now, no matter how wrong the police is and how wrong the justice system is, you're never going to get justice on this earth. You are never going to get it. If your young people, talk with them, because if they want to press the rights to dress who they are, dress the way they want because they are American, that's true, you got that right, but there's a high degree that somebody is going to misjudge you. You see, and it's not the blacks or the whites, it's the Hollywood. It's Hollywood that is bringing this perception in the minds of people.
Amen. That's right.
See? And what is happening is the media is just making money out of it. That's all they're doing, is making money out of it. See? Sensationalism. So it's a wicked world we live in. You know, talk to your children. Love them. Make them know that they are unconditionally loved. Give them, pay them all the attention that you can. Because if you don't do that, what's going to end up happening? They are going to find places that they belong. All right? And the only thing that can really change an unconverted man into the right kind of behavior is when he loves his parents so much that he doesn't want them, his mama, to cry or to go to the grave weeping. And that is what works on their heart. You see, it is the love that works. Even if they're unconverted, love has great power in it. When you bring your children up in this church or message church that you're hearing, love them. Don't just show them all the rules in the message. Love them. Spoil them all that you can spoil them. See, don't be, you know, Brother Bam said, you know, spoil your children. There's a big quote on that. You know that? Spoil your children. Well, you know, Charlie Branham didn't hold back the rod. But Billy Branham sure did. Because his wife is always complaining, you need to give that boy a whipping. You need to straighten that boy up. And she's waiting for Brother Branham to come home and whip Joseph. But does he? You know, love them that they love you so much that they don't want to do things to cause you troubles and their embarrassment. You know, so that's how you do it. You cause them to love you. Okay. Now you got to know your children also. You got to know their makeup, whether they're strong will or whether they're leaders, followers. And then you have to work according to that will. I'm not saying to hold back the rod now. There are some children you can look at them. And they got the message. And there are some children, you don't give them 1-2. You do it really good one time, so you don't have to do it for a long, long time. Otherwise, you're going to keep on letting them get used to the rod. And if you get them used to the rod, then don't use the rod no more because it's ineffective.
Amen.
You understand? You've got to make your mind up. If you take the rod up, they're going to be sorry you ever pick it up. So then you don't use the rod for a long time because, you know, otherwise, what you're going to happen, you'll get them immune to it.
Amen.
There's, you know, so there's a lot of things that are needful for us. There's a series of messages called Godly Parenting. I pray that some of you will go over those things again. Pick up some of Susanna Wesley's parenting skill and continue. Don't ever let your children ever reward them for temper tantrums. Never do it. Never do it. You know, and teach them routine. You go to bed a certain time. You know, you get them in routine, time. Always, what you're developing a disciplined mind. You see, a lot of times you do things, you don't know why you're doing them. You say, well, I want them to get a good night rest. Well, that's only part of it. It's discipline. You're teaching them a disciplined mind, time, responsibility. You teach them a lot of things. Just what those simple things in your home. You understand? Now, what you don't want to do is go and have about 5-6 children and then let your children bring up your children.
Amen.
Then that's abuse. Your children should not be doing your chores. They should be helping to learn responsibility, but it's not their job, you know, to keep your house clean, your yard clean, wash all your clothes, take care of the younger children, you know, and so they could free up your time to live. That's abuse. That's robbing the child of the seasons of its life. A child has seasons of their life, just like you have seasons of your life. If you didn't want to cook, clean, and wash, you shouldn't run and hang out with that man. You shouldn't say, I do. That's why enjoy the seasons of your life. When you're a single and young and slim, enjoy it. Because one day you ain't going to be that. I was going to say the other thing, but everybody get upset when I say that. All right? You're going to be plump. Right? And when you used to be able to fall through a crack, you're making those cracks now. So don't do it. Enjoy the seasons of your life. While you're single, enjoy it to the maximum. Because what happens? Satan robs you of your joy. While you're single and are free and able to go here and go there and wear this and wear that and do all of that, you're looking to, oh, I wish I was married. I wish I had that man. Look, that woman is married. You're going to get there. When you get there, make sure you enjoy it. Because if you don't live out the season of your life where you enjoy being single and enjoy doing the things they do, when you get married, after you wash socks and clean toilets for a little while, you're going to look back and see all your other people, friends, are still single and say, are you going to go out with us to the grocery today? No, I got to cook. No, I got to clean. No. And then you're going to end up wanting to be what you used to be or what you should have lived out. Enjoy the seasons of your life. All right. And God will bring in the right time, the right. Listen, it is better if you follow the Lord and marry late and have 20 years of happiness, then you rush and you get the wrong person and you have 30 years of misery. And just the year of your marriage, all nice and juicy, you know. Which one you rather? Better get a good man, you know, and have a real happy life. Maybe it might not be the years that you might want, than to have all these years of misery. Isn't that true? Okay. Everybody all right? Good. Enjoy the seasons of your life. You don't want to miss this. You see, you only got a limited amount of time. Don't waste it. If your husband is a kind of person, if you can't change him, love him enough, just leave him alone in his own ways and just put out us. Don't try to change your husband if he ain't going to change for you. Leave him alone. Your wife, she got certain ways. Leave her alone. You married her that way. Right? If you can't put up with her, who you think, well, what about us? Can't expect the next man to do it. If she drives you nuts, what about the other people? You leave them alone. You see? Just love them the parts and let the other part go. Because you're going to waste your life arguing, fussing, misery, all of that stuff. Okay? And you know, remember, there's always a cost for marrying when you don't marry the right one. There's always a cost involved. I don't care, you don't get away with it. You know that? You don't get away with it. Yep, that's right. It's better you get up with somebody with bad breath you love than somebody with bad breath you don't love. It makes it difficult, doesn't it? I'm saying all these because young people don't seem to realize they're always in a hurry. They can't wait. I tell them, you know what you can't wait to do? Clean the toilets, wash his clothes, cook his food, wash the dishes, clean his house, you know, run the errands, take care of the children, you know, lose your shape, you know, gain your weight. That's what you hurry. He just dangle a couple of things before you and you're ready to buy into the whole kit and caboodle. Ladies, enjoy your seasons of life. Make friends with people your age. Go out with them. Enjoy life. Enjoy, you know. Okay, and you parents, Brother Bram said, make your home in such a way that your children, your children, friends love to come to your home. And young people too. Live in such a way that you don't rush your life. Don't get messed up because it's yeah. All right. Everybody happy? I know Brother Bill said, look, get going up, been past that all my life. Well, you should have told me that 60 years ago. Well, we got to warn somebody. Amen. Okay, season up your life. Otherwise, you're going to end up living in a rearview mirror. All right. I want to do a recap. And the recap is, the reason I'm talking about this message is because I believe that the Lord inspired me by learned lessons. Sometimes you study and then you see things come to pass. You see it in the Word. And then there are things that you go through and then you come end up finding it. You see, hey, what I'm going through is in the Word. All right? And I found out, and I'm using the country of Trinidad as an example, because that's where my experience was. Okay? And we're talking about labeling the false vine. The false vine. Okay. Now, I showed you that there are three stages before you can really classify them false vine. Right? And the first stage is called mixed multitude. Mixed multitude. And mixed multitude comes out through a revival. But this is not a word revival they come out under. The revival they come out of is a revival. It is redemption in power. And so that is under the one man message, one messenger, like Moses in type, and our Moses in type, and through the two signs. And that is through vindication. You don't need to know his doctrine to know he's a prophet. You just need to know the signs, that whatever he told you come to pass. And he'll tell you the secret of his heart, and then of your heart. And then you identified with that was the pillar of fire. And that was power. Okay? And I want to take this back here to... So the revival was from 1946 to 1963. Okay? The revival in power. All right? So let's look at Luke 21:27. And we want to add on that today. Every day we do a recap and then... Okay? So 1946 to 19, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in cloud, power, and great glory. Now notice the chronology of Scripture is not determined in the order it is written, but how a prophet determines it. And the prophet said the first thing that happens in redemption is redemption by power. Alright, so you have power first. What does the power, the two signs to do? Attract attention. You see, it attracts attention. All right, okay. Now, you see, first of all, it is power. And then in 1963, you have cloud. And cloud speaks of rain. And rain speaks of doctrine. All right, this is Proverbs 16:15. Anybody can quote it for me? In the light of the king's countenance is life, and his grace is as a cloud of the latter rain. This is Deuteronomy 32, I believe it is. And his doctrine shall come down as rain. His doctrine shall come down as rain. This is Psalms 72:6. And he shall come down as rain. Right? This is Revelation 10:1. The mighty angel clothed in a cloud. So you hear, so you have 63, you have the beginning of the opening. So you have the Son of Man in power, which was from 1946 to 1963. And then you have the Son of Man revealing his own word, you see, in cloud, right? He's revealing in heaven, but he comes in the form of rain or doctrine to us, right? And then you have glory, Son of Man from 1963 to 1965. You have glory, All right? And the glory, this is Isaiah 60. Arise and shine, thy light is come. And the glory of the Lord is... All right? Risen upon thee. Darkness is upon the earth. And gross darkness upon the people. But not you. All right? So Isaiah 60 becomes Psalms 27. The rapture scripture where it begins to say, the Lord is my light. Not the glory of the Lord descended upon me, but the Lord is my light. The light itself is God himself. Amen. Right? This becomes John, 1 John 1 and 5. God is light. All right? God is light. Now, this light is Psalms 84 and 11. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. This sun and a shield is also related to Revelation 10:1, and his face was as the... So you have two symbols right there. The two symbols are first the cloud and second the sun. Is that right? So you have, so between 62 and 65, you have the cloud and the sun. See, 84 and 11, right? Okay, so you have 84 and 11. Then you have, okay, so now what I want to show you, the cloud and the sun again, it is Malachi 4 and 2. And they that fear my name, well, what is it to fear the Lord? To fear the Lord is to fear his prophets, to respect them. They that respect my prophet, the son of righteousness. Who is the son of righteousness? Well, Psalms 84 and 11, Jehovah is a sun and a shield. Is that right? So you have the sun shall rise with what? Healing. So now you have the healing is connected in two ways. You have the healing campaign that goes on to show his power from 46 to 63. Okay. Right? And you shall go forth. Okay, so watch here. You shall go forth. Now, you shall go forth as what? Let's read Psalms 42. I mean, Malachi 4 and 2. But you ought to fear my name. That means you who respect my prophet, shall the son of righteousness rise. Well, that's Psalms 84 and 11. With healing in his wings. The healing goes all the way back to here. And the healing does not really stop, because the healing campaign is only the earnest of the resurrection or your body change. And he shall go forth. They say not go back, go forth. And grow up as calves. When you may grow up as calves. You will mature out to the right when God is ready to take you out of the stall. Is that right? So this here ties the healing all the way to the resurrection and the body change. Right? So right here now, Luke 21:27 is going to show you that this has to happen, because if that don't happen, you're going to end up here and he shall tread down the wicked. All right? You shall tread down the wicked. Now, let's look at that word wicked. Okay, so guilty of a crime, okay? Hostile to God. Those who are hostile, amen, wicked, guilty of sin against God or man. So they are guilty, they are found guilty because there is an indictment, there is a crucifixion,
amen.
Is that right?
Yes.
And then the judge appears. Okay, so this is the guilty. Here's the one. They're hostile. They're guilty. All right, now let's look at that just for 1 minute, right? In other words, everybody who is not justified. And the only people who are justified is by faith.
Amen.
And the only way that you know that you are justified by faith is when the revelation of the message comes, amen, and confirms that you are the righteous.
Amen.
It is the revelation that confirms that you are righteous. Therefore, it's the revelation that confirms that you are the one who is not guilty.
Amen.
Amen. Your guilty is not based on your everyday faults and your, you know, your neighbor bothering you. That has nothing to do with it. That's just to perfect you. But it has nothing to do with God justifying, because justification is a work of God and not a work of man.
Amen.
That is not your everyday problems. That is not your thorn in the flesh. See that? That has to be with the confirmation that you are seed. And if you are seed, you're going to have the gene. And if you have the gene, you're going to catch the revelation which confirmed to you, you are them that are not guilty.
Amen.
Now, this is where the problem lies. It's the revelation in the message, not the message. It's the revelation of the message. Because the churches in our area, they have a different revelation than you. Right? They have a different Godhead. They have a different gospel. They have a different spirit. They say they are born again. You say you're born again. Isn't that true? Somebody's lying. Somebody is guilty. Somebody is not justified. I want to hear you, Eagle Faith. Are you justified? Amen. Well, if you're justified, somebody's wicked. And in the message, we're talking about message churches, message groups. See how both of you can be the same and have different revelations. Remember, don't let them fall for the foolishness. Their foolishness is this. Look, we don't need those deep things. Just love one another. You all can't even get along and love one another. How are you going to make it in heaven? Well, how did Jesus make it in heaven after he told those people they are of the devil? How is he going to do it? When he was so rude to call them children of the devil, and that their father was the devil, and they're hypocrites, and who is he to say who is who? Talk to them like they were children, and they were much older men than him. They've been preaching the gospel 30 years before he ever came along. Amen, old illegitimate man like him. I want to call us illegitimate. Say, we were born of fornication. We know what Mary did. You think he had it easy? God, in his great wisdom, to manifest serpent seed, not only tells the truth, but in the way he tells the truth. I can't hear you. Why? Because he's got to manifest. See, if they just despise the truth, that's one thing. They just despise the truth. But they've got to despise the one who carries the truth. Because that's where the real guilt lies. Amen. Their attitude towards God's people.
Amen.
And so if you have a nice serpent seed guy who just say, I don't believe that truth, leave me alone. Right? Well, then he's not showing characteristics of serpent seed.
Amen.
You see, so God allows you to provoke him.
Yes,
provoke them. You see? In the way that he allows you to say it so that they will run to you like Stephen. When Stephen said, you always, like your father, always resist the Holy Spirit. So do you.
Amen.
And then they all with one accord went after him. So what does that to do? That's to manifest, I put enmity between thy seed and the woman. They've got to fight. They've got to kill.
Amen.
The influence of it. You see, that's why Brother Branham couldn't come and say, you know, you all, your mama is a flapper. I don't need to really say that, but the Lord is telling me to say it. And the Lord told me to say, well, you're sissified preachers. And, you know, the Lord kind of told me that you all are serpent seed, you know, and you I don't want to say this, but you're children of Cain. That nice, small, little, sweet, little, humble Kentuckian. Get up there, he'll tear you apart. Amen. Because he's got to get that reaction so they can manifest themselves. Because a lot of people, they preach, the seducers,
they preach with a voice like Billy Graham, like David Jeremiah. They practice their inflections and their words.
And so the people fall in love with the voice, the appearance. That's why the prophet said he was a handsome looking fella. The serpent.
They fall in love with the Hollywood view of the preacher.
But not William Branham and not Jesus. They didn't have that view. They were outside the box. Their English was no good. They couldn't communicate with the proper language and the proper diction. They couldn't say pulpit right. They come talking about through a scene. They're saining. Anybody know what a saining? We come from the English background, and English will use the word saining. But Americans don't use it. They use a net. See? Anyway. So, let's go back to our subject. Guilty. See? What is their crime? What is their crime? This is their crime. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 to 10. This is their crime. In the end time, this is their crime. Now, I've got a lot of hay on my fork, so as it winds down, remember, you're going to get almost a couple of weeks off, right? So let me finish my work. I want to go to 2 Thessalonians 1 and 7. And you who are troubled, rest with us. Why are you troubled? It means that they are troubled by false brethren. They are troubled always by twins. They are troubled always by two vines. Listen carefully. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven, taken in fire, taking vengeance on them, they do not know God. Now stop right there. They do not know God. So 1 John 4 and 4. Hold that. We'll come back to that. 1 John 4 and 4. They do not know God. Ye are little children, ye have been overcome, great to say. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world and the world. We are of God. He that knoweth God, heareth us. It is the one who does not hear the body of Christ that has life or has the true revelation. The twins have the wrong, and the twins are in the majority.
Amen.
More the children of the bondwoman than of the free woman. They know not God. You say, okay, it doesn't matter who you hear. As long as you go to a message church, you're very foolish.
Amen.
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 You see, preaching is not to make you feel good. Preaching is to let you think about what is being said.
Amen.
Most people come to church and they sit and they want to hear something that will make them happy or some. No. Teaching is to cause you to reflect, to bring thoughts, to challenge your thinking, so you can have enlightenment and wisdom on how to make decisions. And decisions based on the word brings blessing. Decisions that are outside of the word bring suffering.
Amen.
That's what you're here for. Amen. So it says here, he that knoweth God heareth us.
Amen.
There is a us and there is a them. Amen. We are of God and they are of the world. So there are message churches that are of the world, because of the world means, amen, world just does not mean all the world. It means also their cosmos arrangement. And our world is the world of the righteous.
Amen.
There is the world of the unrighteous.
Amen.
We are the world of the godly. They that are of God hear at us. We are godly. They are the world of the ungodly. Now he's taking vengeance on them that know not God. He that is not of God heareth not us.
Amen.
All right? Okay. Now remember, in a message, that's what we are dealing with.
Yeah.
Whereby you know the spirit of truth and the spirit of
error.
So, where you fellowship, under who you fellowship, determines whether you know God or not. You say, well, all the message churches know God. It is the preachers who crucified Jesus who didn't know God.
Amen.
Because they did not know the Lord of glory, therefore they crucified him.
Amen.
For had they had known the Lord of glory, they wouldn't have done it.
Amen.
All right, let's go back to And to you who are troubled, rest for us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with a mighty angel. Now this Lord Jesus that is revealed from heaven, might as well go through it. Who is this Lord Jesus that is revealed from heaven? Jesus comes and he is not revealed.
That's right.
The Son of God, Jesus the Son of God comes and he's not revealed.
Amen.
It's just a meeting in the air. He has no ministry in the air.
Amen.
This Lord Jesus is that one there.
Amen.
And that is Melchizedek.
Amen.
Amen. That is Melchizedek. That is Jehovah God.
Amen.
Amen. That is Jehovah Jesus.
Amen.
Jehovah of the old is Jesus of the new.
Amen.
And his son name is? He inherits his father's name. Do you know the name of the Father? Do you know the name of the Son? You need to know it now. So this Lord Jesus that is revealed from heaven is Elohim. Because he's revealed, amen, and he's revealed to the bride in the end time because he's the only one that descends. The Lord himself shall what? Descend from heaven. He shall be revealed. Okay, then the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angel. Now, you know the angels don't belong to Jesus.
Amen.
So don't you know I can ask my Father?
Amen.
And you'll send legions of angels?
Yes.
Amen. The Lord of hosts is God because he's the one who is the captain of the angels.
Amen.
I can hear you.
Amen.
Isn't he the one? You say, Brother Tony, he descended with his mighty angel. Did not Jehovah descend with two mighty angels, Michael and Gabriel, with Abraham?
Amen.
I can hear you.
Hmm?
But one of them was a little peculiar, the one with the swept back wings, the one that meant more to me than the rest of them. In flaming fire, taking vengeance. The Bible said, vengeance is mine. You even are not allowed to take vengeance.
Amen.
Amen. Vengeance is mine, said the Lord. So we know who is the one who's coming down. On them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the seven seal open book gospel. Because the only way that he can ask you to know God is after he has been unveiled. So this is a seven seal scripture. This happens after the, because you can't take vengeance until after the book is open. It is after the book is open, after the Son of Righteousness rises with healing in his wings. Then the next verse says, and you shall tread on the ashes of the wicked.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. Okay, everybody happy?
Amen.
So we are looking here at the connection that they know not God. And if they know not God, who are they worshiping? The only way that they ought to know God is Revelation 22 and 8.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
You're supposed to know God at that time. Right? And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard them, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. And then he said unto me, see, thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant of thy brethren, the prophets, and them which teach the sayings of this book. Worship who?
God.
Now, how can they worship God if they don't know who God is?
Amen. If they can't do it,
right?
Amen.
So there's only two worship. There's only three worship. He does not want you to worship the beast. He does not want you to worship the image of the beast. Right? And he does not want you to worship graven images. Okay? Images, which is creation. Alright? So let's look at that. Revelation 14 and 9 is Brother Branham's ministry. Revelation 14 and 9. Everybody okay? And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast. Now, what is the beast? The beast is the Roman Catholic Church. How does that call, what does that call you to worship? The Trinity.
Amen.
Now, the Trinity says that the Son is eternal. And He is a member of the Godhead. He is one, the second person in the Godhead. Right? So they just perverted that there are two gods, because anything that does not have a beginning must mean it is God. And the only thing that has no beginning is God. So if you make a second thing have no beginning, you make a second. That's why they make Him the second person in the Godhead. So literally, they have three gods. That's why Brahman said three gods. Right? So that's the beast. Now the image of the beast, which is Protestants, they are oneness in essence. Right? Some of them are Trinity, like their mother, but the most emphasis on the last days is their oneness association. And what is oneness? Oneness say that the Godhead is Jesus the Son. So they take Jesus, who has a beginning, and make Him the Godhead. And the Bible says that the Godhead was in Him. And the prophet said the Godhead is Elohim. The fullness of the Godhead is Elohim, the prophet. That's a direct statement. Right? So they're saying, so what they did, they take the creation and they make Him the creator. And Brother Van said, Jesus cannot be His own father. Right? You know the quote. You know the quotes. Okay, so here what I want to show you. So when it says worship the beast, we are talking about the organization that has Trinity. When you talk about the image of beast, we're talking about the group who say they are not like their mother, but they are oneness. So Brother Bram say, I am not a Trinity, I'm not a oneness. So you cannot worship Trinity or oneness, because that's worshiping the beast or the image of the beast. So you don't have to belong to an organization. If you're in the message and worship the oneness, then you're worshiping the image of the beast.
Amen.
You understand? Yes. If you're a oneness, like Trinidad, Brother Green and Brother Shem and Brother Beckett and all of those guys, they're trying to say they're not. They're saying they're not, but they're fighting this. You see? So what happens? If you are a oneness in the message, you are worshiping the image of the beast, and you are going to have the characteristics of the mark of the beast. You're going to take a mark, which is not a literal mark, but it is a locking, God locking you out of any provision of grace.
Amen.
Where your heirs bore, and you will never repent.
Amen.
You will never acknowledge the truth. Why? Your own pride. Their own pride. Amen. Of how the bigger they are, the greater the church is, greater their name is, it's harder for them to repent.
Amen.
Because they'll hate to tell their people after 30 years of ministry, you know, we were wrong, and praise God, we've got grace to repent, but they will not.
Amen.
So therefore, they seek to shut down everybody who can talk to their church or preach to them these truths. So it's called a boycott.
Amen.
Antichrist boycotts. That's how you, like I'm going to show you today, the characteristics of the message churches, their behavior is Antichrist. That's how close they'll deceive the very elect. Watch very carefully. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and the image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink. Now, who is the third angel? That's Brother Branham. So if he's telling you not to worship the Trinity, not to worship the oneness, he must be able to tell you who to worship. And he said, Jehovah of the old is Jesus of the new, and his son's name is Jesus, but don't confuse the two. Ain't God good? Is it getting clearer, friends? The same shall drink up the wine of the wrath of God. Well, what is the wrath of God? Amen. Isn't that the wrath of God? That's filled up with the wrath of God there, the judge? Isn't that seven angels full with the last seven vials? Revelation 16, Revelation 15?
Amen.
Okay, now, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Is that not it there?
Romans
1:18. Romans 16 and 1, Romans 15 and 1. Amen. Great and marvelous, I see a great sign in heaven, seven angels, and in filled up is the wrath of God.
Amen.
All right, isn't Romans 1:18 the wrath of God? Isn't 2 Thessalonians 1, amen, I see the Lord Jesus revealed with his mighty angel, taking vengeance, is not the wrath of God?
Amen.
All right, so no, not God. So this is the problem here. The problem is in this ministry that is moving from mixed multitude, there is a revival in power. Amen. That revival in power from 1946 to 1963, that's the Son of Man revealing himself in power with two signs. Okay, now this healing in his wings starts all the way back here with healing through the ministry of the one man to the healing that goes over to the resurrection and the rapture. All right, so now let's take a look at that. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. Now, the only great mystery that can be revealed must be revealed through Revelation 10:1, through the agency of 10:7, and this eventually becomes Luke 17:30. All right? Then this, between these two, all the mysteries are revealed. Is that right? The mysteries are revealed. So you're looking that, behold, I show you a mystery. Paul is showing the mystery, but Paul is not revealing the mystery. He's just showing you that this is going to happen. But the idea of the mystery behind it must come from the man who reveals all the mystery in the end time. So this happens in the time of Luke 17:30. When the Son of Man is going to be revealed, he's going to reveal, what is he going to reveal? He's going to reveal life and immortality. All right, now watch this. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. That's the mystery of the body change. He's shown you the mystery of the body change. Oh, my goodness. The mystery of the body change. Which means this is the mystery that Jesus spoke of in John chapter 11. He says, he that liveth and believeth shall never die. That's a class of people that is supposed to be alive in a time when this mystery is to be revealed. All right. In a moment of a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise incorruptible. There's your resurrection.
Amen.
There's the resurrection. So that is healing. That's healing.
Amen.
All right, that's healing there. Okay. And we shall be changed. That's healing. All right, so you're looking at Malachi 4:2, which transcends from the power to attract attention to the power to change your atoms. Alright? Okay. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on? Alright. And when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass this saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Alright, let us go to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 and the 9th verse. Who had saved us? Now, who had saved us? Let's read the 8th verse, because if we don't read it right, we'll get it mixed up. But be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. Who had saved us? Power of God. God who had saved us, you see? Who had saved us and called us with a? This has nothing to do with the Son of God. This is God's divine purpose. Right? God, who had saved us and called us with the Holy Ghost, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which He was given to us in Christ Jesus. So Jesus is just doing God's purpose, which is to call us, save us,
amen,
which is God's will, which has given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, comma, that's 2,000 years ago. That's the Son of Man 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
The Son of Man came, the Son of Man died.
Amen.
Comma, is that right?
Yeah.
And abolished death by taking it in His own body. Amen. Now remember, who took death on His body? Whose body was that?
God.
That was God's body. Whose blood redeemed you?
God's
blood. Moses was a deliverer, or God was a deliverer? God was delivered through Moses.
Amen.
It was God through Christ, which is God's own body.
Yeah.
Right? Get the whole thing right now, because I need you to see right.
Yeah.
What abolished death? You see that common day after death? That Son of Man Alpha.
Yeah.
And had brought life and immortality to life. Not He brought life and immortality to by the new birth. He is revealing to you. The Son of Man is revealing to you what it is that He did by.
Amen.
He brought life. He brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. In other words, He is revealing to you that He has brought life and immortality all through the ages.
Amen.
The rising of the sun, giving them eternal life.
Yes. Amen.
Oh my, isn't that good? The rising of the sun gave them eternal life.
Yes.
Then they crucified the Son of God that gave them eternal life.
Amen.
And then he was crucified today.
Uh-huh.
Comes up again as Son of Man.
Amen.
And has brought life and immortality to life. He's showing you now it is not eternal life, but it is immortal life He's giving.
Amen.
Not only is it. So this is the mystery. Behold, I show you a mystery. What is the mystery? Life and immortality is the mystery.
Amen.
Right? Okay. Now, He brought life and immortality. Did He bring life? Did He bring life and immortality? Okay, let's see if He brought life to light through the gospel. Did He show you the parable of the foolish virgin?
Yeah.
Did He bring life and showed you the life of the foolish virgin will come from the second resurrection?
Yeah.
Did He show you the wise virgin is the bride?
Amen.
Did He show you the sword that went forth to sow seed? Some fell on the stony ground. Some fell among thorns. Some fell along the way.
Yeah.
Did He show you that?
Amen.
Did He show you that if the seed was good,
yes,
but it was a ground that did not have the right moisture predestinated?
Right.
Did He show you that those are people in your own life? They might have heard the gospel that you witnessed to them, and many of them came and they heard it and they were excited for 6 months.
Yes,
then somebody start troubling the sister and say, "Hey, you are brand of mine. Look at you growing out your hair," and they get offended.
Yeah, amen. Yes,
because their root was not deep enough.
Exactly.
They didn't speak evil of the message. They just couldn't bear the message. They couldn't stand the persecution. They couldn't stand the shame that was being placed upon them.
Amen.
By their family, by their friends.
Amen.
What would people think?
Amen.
So they was excited about it. I have a number of them started off like that here. Remember that? Remember Dennis?
Yes,
oh, excited about it. Remember that guy that Tedda brought one time? What was in the front seat here?
Yeah.
Excited! What did it do? Fell away. No root. But excited. Okay, so then He showed you the parable of the wheat and the tares. Now that's different. That's the twins.
Yes.
Twins in the message.
Yes.
Children of God. Then He showed you the 144,000. Then He showed you the souls under the altar that was crying vengeance. He said that was Israel.
Yes.
That was blinded with the seven church age. It will enter into eternal life in the second resurrection.
Yes.
Did He bring out life? What is He doing? What life is He going to bring? The book of life.
Amen.
Behold, I show you a mystery. I'm going to reveal the book of life, and I'm going to show you the class whose body is going to be changed. Right? And brought life. And then He bring immortality to light. Did Luther teach you about the terrestrial body? Did Wesley teach you about the theophanic body, the celestial? Amen. Who taught you about a glorified body? Well, this day, he brought immortality to life. He showed you the mystery of the different kinds of body. Did he tell you what kind of body the sinner will be outside of the city? Then in the second resurrection. Did he show you the 8-day body and the 7-day body? Behold, I show you a mystery.
Amen.
What is he doing? He's bringing life and immortality. He's revealing the book of life.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. So when he was standing there, amen, discerning and telling you, your name is Mrs. So-and-so, and you live so-and-so, and you are this, and you live so-and-so, and you know, your son is looking, you're praying, you're not here for yourself, you're for your son. You're here for your husband. Amen. What is he showing? Not only that he was omniscient, that he knows all things, but all life. He knows every name in the book. He knows all the name in the book of life. He knows all name in the Lamb section of the book of life. Amen. He is a man who knows the name in the book.
Amen.
So he can reveal every section in the book. Did he reveal life? Did he reveal immortality? Okay, everybody happy? Well, I'll show you a mystery. So you see the healing, how it transcends. Amen. You grow up as fat as staff, calf in a stall. All right, that means you got double portion, brother. Amen. You got the floors are full of wheat, and the vats are full of wine and oil. When in the days of the former, the latter rain. Amen. They begin to fall. Okay, nice. Now, what I want to do here is go to Matthew 13:47, and let us show you that this revival produces twins. So the revival produces twins, but nobody knows because the twins are there, but not manifested.
Amen.
All right, so the twins are not there. So now we know, we can tell that in a mixed multitude, they are them that are good to the bride. Some of them. In there, they're the foolish virgin.
Yes.
In there is the serpent seed.
Amen.
And in there is the Zoe class.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Now, it's easy to tell the foolish virgin. The foolish virgin are churches and pastors who really don't know nothing about hardly the message.
Amen.
But they are not fighters.
Amen.
They don't present themselves to be any great thing.
Amen.
They are God-loving people. They even help the ministry.
Amen.
They might even help your ministry. And you go and you preach by them and say, my, that's so deep, Brother Tony. You know, I tell you, we just love it, but my goodness, you need to come here a month and break this down. You know, nice people. That's how they say. They have nothing negative. They have no fighting. They're just loving people.
Amen.
Good people. They say, but I don't see that. That's so deep, you know. I don't know. But their people are that way too because, you know, the majority of foolish virgin will rotate towards a foolish virgin preacher. That's how they end up with that kind of. And the problem they run into is when you have a serpent seed rise up who know more than them. That's trouble in their church.
Amen.
You see? That's how their church get in trouble and split up. But he doesn't know anything about the word. They hardly, you know, just a sweet, nice, old kind of, not even old, he could be a young fellow, just really nice, lovey, 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 goody, 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 helpy, 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 helpy. But poor guy don't know anything about the word. That's foolish virgin in the message. I know one or two of them. I like them. You know, I mean, I wouldn't want to spend 2 days with them. Get bored to that, you know. All right, now, then there is the serpent seed, which we are going to show the characteristics in a little while. And they can't help but fight, kill, and resist, rebel. Again, the kingdom of God is likened unto a net that has been cast into the sea and guarded of every kind. You see, the net there is the revival. That's redemption in power. Because it attracts attention to all fishes. And they come to sea. And when they come to sea, the net picks them up. All right? So that's the revival. All right? That is what happened with Moses' signs down in Egypt. They came to sea, and they say, surely this is a good net to get into. They come up. Right? So that's the mixed mud. So what was happening from 1946 and 1963 is the net. Right? And then after 63, the word starts coming. And what does the word do? Separate. And after the separation, there's another gathering of your own kind. So foolish birds who were gathered with their own kind. Is our elect will find their own kind. Amen. So what was happening to you for a lot of time, a long time? You were just looking to find your camp. You sit somewhere for a while, and then you kept saying, hey, there's something not right here, something not right here, you know? Until you find of your own kind. Then you look over the hump and say, rainbow trout! Praise God! Where are you fellowship, brother? What you're saying, I like what you're saying. Isn't that right? So, this happened from 1965 to 1980. You had a mixed multitude. They could all go together, row together. Then from 1980 to 2010, from that time, you have what is called the seeding. And the seeding is that teaching and doctrines begin to develop. Every doctrine that you can think of, Brother Bayo. Two souls, Joseph, return ministry. Brother Bram didn't finish his third pull. Brother Bram was in Malachi 4. Brother Bram failed the tenth vision. You know, tenth vision has to come back. He has to come back and preach the seventh seal is not open. Brother Branham is Jesus. Brother Bram is God. You know, you name it. Two soul, polygamy, there's a truth on perusal and there's a false. You know, you name it, it's in there. There's no more false doctrine to come up, put it that way. If there is, it's something, somebody trying to squeeze something out. But any reasonable, logical false doctrine that could come up has come up. Millennium is already past. We're already in the millennium. Rapture has already happened. All of that is gone. All of those doctrines are already, they are seeded. And after they are seeded in the hearts of the people, then the people rotate to one another. And now you end up with different groups. Right? And you end up with different groups. And now we are in the stage now where the foolish virgin has made her peace. Right? And the twins are now manifesting itself. And how does the twin manifest himself? The twin manifest himself by the characteristics of fighting and rebelling against the revelation and killing Abel. Amen. Why did he kill Abel? By Abel's revelation. So now you have the Antichrist rising in a message. That's why I told you. When I went to Trinidad, at one time we were all one. I did conventions in there for almost 7-8 years. Then every year, then after there, we moved into, from the mixed multitude, we moved into twins. Identification. You see? And then from twins now, everybody has their own groupings, and now they're fighting. Like Brother Green and different ones, they're fighting. Green, Beckett, different ones, they're trying to work to kill the influence of this ministry and this doctrine. Right? Okay. So that is how the Lord developed this with me just in the last few months. Okay, we know many of these truths, but to see how it worked, how it unfolds itself. All right? Okay. Now, everybody happy? Yes. All right. If Brother Chris or Brother Harry will help me here with that. And so you see the twin, that's the scripture for the revival. And then you see down here coming down which when it was full, see there come a time when there's no more, right? Now it's time to separate. They drew ashore and sat down and what? Guarded into the vessel, but cast the bad away. Alright, so that's where we are right now. And I'd like to put up some notes. Recap. And these recaps, I want you to listen very carefully. We're in serious times. Let's look at recap here. I need to recap at least 15 minutes, maybe 15, 20. 20 for the most recap. And then we punch into new ground. Here's what happened. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep clothing. So right then and there, we want to know that that's talking about twins. You say, prove it to me, Brother Tony. Well, the sheep, the real sheep is us. So it has to be dressed like us. Want to live among us. Right? So this is mixed multitude right here. You see that? Read it. Which come to you, the elect. You don't let a Baptist come to you. You don't let a Methodist come to you. You don't let a Baptist, do you let those people come to you? No. So right there, that's mixed multitude. All right? Okay, now, but inwardly, you see, they are raven wolves. Okay, so now you're looking here, that is telling them that their nature, you see, their nature is not sheep. Is not equal to sheep nature. And sheep always hear the voice. So these men, they are not faithful to the voice. They are not going to say exactly what the messenger say. That's their qualification. That's your problem right there. My sheep hear my voice. But since really they are not sheep, they will not understand his voice. So the only way to tell these men is by how they misplace, dislocate, and misinterpret. What? The message. So they preach by knowledge of the message. They read it, they study it with their human mind. So they preach by knowledge. And the true sheep ministry, they preach by revelation. Now, I'm going to take Cain here now. Because Cain was a serpent seed in human clothing. Cain was a serpent seed with Son of God clothing. I can't hear you.
Amen.
Now, Cain revelation was from the Bible.
Yeah.
First fruit. But it was dislocated.
Amen.
It was misplaced.
Amen.
He should have offered first the blood offering.
Yeah.
Before you can have resurrection promise. He was preaching resurrection, which is first fruit. He was preaching resurrection from the dead.
Amen.
He was preaching resurrection, but he bypassed the blood. And for us, the blood, the real blood is the word.
Amen.
Because the blood carries life. And because he had the wrong revelation, it showed he did not have the blood applied to him.
Amen.
He had no token.
Amen.
But Abel did.
Amen.
Isn't that true? So you're checking to see that what Matthew 7 here is saying now. It says here now, so this group is Acts 20 and 28. Let's read it. If you're thirsty, get some water. If it's too hot, ask them to put up the air condition. Whatever it takes, we're here to serve you. All right, keep those seats nice and warm. Everybody happy? Shake somebody's hand. Say, God bless you, brother. Amen. If you see them sleeping, they say, arise and shine, thy light has come. Amen. The Lord has awakened thee. All right, everybody feel good? Take heed, therefore, unto yourself and unto all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost had made you over to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves. There you go. So this must be wolves in sheep clothing again. Except in Matthew 7:15 is Jesus saying it. And in Acts 20:28 it's Paul saying it. Right? Wolves enter in among you. So here they are. The wolves enter in. They said that they'll come to you. Sheep and wolf clothing will come to you. Here Paul says, enter in among you. Is that, so this is twin also.
Amen.
Okay, this is twins from the mixed multitude. Not sparing the flock. So who are they after? They're after message believers. They are after message believers. Ain't God good? Amen. Hey, you still fellowship with that Indian fellow over there? You still fellowship with that hook-nosed Jew they call Paul? They want you make you ashamed of the gospel, of the messenger. And that's exactly true. That's what they want you to do. Oh, he's not popular among everybody. How can you hang out with him? You ain't going to have no popularity yourself. Take heed among yourself. You see, now, take heed unto yourself and to all the flock for which the Holy Ghost has made you to feed the church of God which he had purchased with his. All right. For I know this, that after my departing, they will enter in. As of your own. There you go. After your own. How do you think these men were dressing? Living. What? Who do you think they were quoting? Paul! They're saying, we are Paul followers. We are Brother Branham followers. We love the prophet and the message. See, now watch carefully what I want to show you here. Men shall arise speaking. Hit the word perverse. Things to turn you away. To distort the quotes. To oppose the truth of it. To plot against saving purposes and plan of God. To turn aside from the right path to prevent, to corrupt. So the message is going to have, where the message is going to be distorted and corrupted. He says, show me an example. Brother Branham once taught the fruits of the Spirit was the mark of God. Under starlight. Under sunlight, he said, no, the fruit of the Spirit is not the mark of God.
Amen.
Now, I could bring a quote up there, and I could quote, brother, amen, all these deep things, all you need is a loved one. And the prophet said, love is the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit. I could be quoting another man. That man that said that under starlight, that was not Son of Man.
Amen.
That was Revelation 10:3-14.
Yes, sir.
That's a starlight messenger. He could only see on the starlight.
Amen.
But when the light has come.
Yes.
Amen. The true light come in. The true light now shine it.
Amen.
The darkness has passed.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now let's take a look at this. Okay. So dire means wit. And 4762. It means strepho. And this word is connected to histami. Like I'm going to show you in a minute. To turn oneself, to turn again, to turn back. No, turn against, to turn back. You see, be converted, to turn around, to turn oneself. To use the one who no longer cares for another or whatever it's supposed to be. To turn oneself from one's course of conduct. So they're going along with Paul and all of a sudden, you see, the gene will not allow them to stay in all the light. It's got to manifest itself. All right, I want to go to the top of it. And 51:57, stroke means turning of a heavenly body. All right, so you see this is a rotation. They rotated almost 360 degrees different.
Amen.
All right. Okay, now let us look what they're turning from. So they are men. Let's pick up all the scriptures of twins and antichrist and look at them here for a minute. Because I've got some things there I need to let see. Okay, now, let us go to the book of 1 Timothy 4 now. So he said, men will rise from among yourselves. He said, there'll be wolves and sheep clothing right among you. They'll come to you. All of this dealing with the bride, the elect. Now the Spirit speak expressly that in the latter times, that's our day, some shall what from the faith? Now, when we say the faith there, don't make one doctrine. The faith there is the seven seal message. The faith is the end time, the seventh seal open book. message. See that word defeat there? That is what is restored back. Right? From defeat. Given heed. So if they depart from the faith, is not the grievous word departing from the faith? Well, the word departing does not mean that they leave it completely. They leave it in the way that they leave the following along the truth, and they distort it. So they're not leaving and say, I give up. They're not leaving and say, I left the message. This is a distortion by misplacing, dislocating, and misinterpreting exactly what Cain did in the garden. All right, look at the word depart now. And apistemai, which means to draw away. Isn't that what Paul said? Men will rise up and draw away?
Yes, sir.
Disciples unto themselves? Yes. To withdraw self, depart from, to make a stand off. So them that know not God is going to stand away from them that know God. I can't hear you. They that know it, God heareth us. They that know it not, God heareth not us. They will stand apart from it, away from it. They don't want anything to do with it. They are ashamed of it. Are you sure? To stand off, to stand aloof, to go away, to depart from anyone, to desert, to withdraw from one. So they are going to desert, they're going to stand apart. That's why it said, they that know it God, hear it us. They that know it not God, hear it not us. Because they stand apart from the ones where they can hear.
Amen. Yes, sir.
They don't even want to hear it.
Amen.
Remember what I'm telling you. When we get to the quotes, you'll see where the prophet is bringing these words out. Now, here 74, 76. Histamai. What does histamai mean to do? It means to stand, to establish. If they don't want to be established, amen, by them who know it, God.
Amen. That's right.
They can't. The cause to make the stand, to place, to set, to bind. You see, so they are not standing and establishing in the faith. They're going to distort it and stand apart from the truth.
Amen.
All right. Okay, everybody all right? Let's go up again. Okay, let's go back to the scripture again. Depart from the faith. Given heed. Now, listen to this word here now. What spirit? It's seducing. It's planos. Now, watch planos now. He says wolf and sheep in wolf clothing, right? Okay? Wolf and sheep clothing. The outside looks like real, but the inside is not. It's a word planos. It's a deceiver. Now, if you're going to deceive somebody, you've got to come real close to the real thing. You've got to come real close. If you're going to sit wandering, roving, misleading. Leading into what? Error. Abraham said, one thing about the serpent seed, they cannot stay with all the word.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. A vagabond, a tramp, an imposter. Amen. You see this word vagabond? Amen. That is what Cain would have ended up being because he left the presence of God.
Amen.
Imposter. Now, what is an imposter? Someone who is saying, coming like a genuine. Is that right?
Amen.
Now that cannot be denominational ministries.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Cannot be, Brother Jones. All right. Planos. Okay, now let us look where this word planos come from. All right? Come on, go up to the top. Go on up. All right. From planets. Now what does planet do? They are wandering stars. Planets are wandering stars. If they don't catch, amen, the power of gravity of another planet or another sun, they're wandering.
Amen.
They're drifting.
Amen. Yes,
I can't hear you.
Amen.
All right. Now, going up again. Going up again. These are called morphes. Right? Morphoses. They are words that are all connected in a family of word.
Uh-huh.
Right? How the word is developed. So the word is developed as wandering, having no influence of another major son. It's just wandering. He left the presence of God and went and dwelt in the land of Nod, which is wandering. Nod means wandering star.
Amen.
Amen. When you leave the presence of God, the right influence, you leave, you're just drifting. Amen. You say, how do you know that? The Bible said, a man will enter in, gifted man will enter in, amen, bringing diverse doctrines. Amen. What they will do? They'll be tossed about with what? Winds of doctrines. All right, so what's the word now? This is the root of the word, plain. Hear what it says. To deceive, deceit, delusion. What is a delusion? Something that you see is like if it's real, but when you get there, it's not there. They're preaching to you rapture, body change. They're teaching to you like they know God, but when you really check it, you get this. It's really not there.
Amen.
Nothing is accomplished in their life.
Amen.
It's a delusion, a wandering, a straying about, whereby one led astray from the right way.
Amen.
Now so this is a form of apostasy. Apostasy is to depart from the truth.
Amen.
Error. See, mental straying. Error, wrong opinion relative to moral or religion. Error which shows itself in action. Alright, remember, an error that shows themselves in action. So their error will have labors. And the Bible said, know them that labor among you. Because your labor is going to tell you, amen, your power of your revelation, which is in your head,
amen.
And your deed, which is in your hands, and that is where you're going to get the mark of the beast. These are the class that is going to lead up people to take the mark of the beast. They're going to put the wrong thing in their head and cause them to labor, and it's a delusion that they are following.
Amen.
All right. Everybody okay? Let's go back to 1 Timothy 4. So, giving heed to impersonating preachers. Brother says seducing spirits are preachers. He interprets it that way. So these are message impersonators.
Amen. That's right.
All right?
Amen.
Given heed to message impersonators and doctrines. Listen carefully. Of demons.
Amen.
Amen. Doctrine. So the way that you're going to tell what is in their head is to know whether their doctrine is of God or not of God. In their head is going to have the doctrine of demon. And doctrine leads you to spirit and truth, because it's a word. Leads you to the word.
Amen.
Is that right? And you can only worship in spirit and in truth. So if the doctrine is not spirit and truth, the doctrine is from demons, and then that becomes the worship of the beast, the image of the beast. All right? The beast, the image of the beast, and the mark. You take the mark of the beast. What is the image of the beast? Trinity doctrine. Where did that come from? Brother said Nicaea, the pits of hell. Where did the oneness come from? He said that come from Nicaea too. But little later it was manifested. Right? And the mark of the beast. Well, because why? Once you have a trinity and a oneness doctrine, you have another gospel. Another spirit. Thinking that how you're born again and you have another Jesus.
Amen.
All right. So let's get to my notes now. So now we are looking here to take these men that are written here in Acts 2:28, 1 Timothy 4:1. Seducing spirit, deceivers. You're taking those And you're going to tie them because they're imposters. You see, they're coming so close to the real. The second Corinthians 11:13, which you know to 15. We might as well just go ahead and read it because I've got a plan for them. These are all twins now. He said life and immortality, right? Well, we serpent seed is life too. Now, see, so they speak lies in hypocrisy. Well, what is lie? The truth misrepresented. They come in like really, they really care for your soul. See? For such are false apostles. What workers? Deceitful. If I'm not mistaken, that's apato. Let me hit deceit. Odulios. Deceitful. Deceitful. Okay? Let's look at the root of dulio. To deceive, to use deceit. Go on up. To use deceit, doulos. Guile, subtlety. Now, this is the word used in the beginning of that verse where he said he was more subtle than all. Remember that?
Yeah.
Deceit, craft. Crafty. See? They that's their craft. They're crafty about it. They're sly. Deceitful. Now, you say, I never see no preacher like that. I guess I ought to get them to go to the Baptist Methodist Pentecostal Church. Then what do you think about this, the message church? All right, let's go back again now. Deceitful. Dulio. Okay, apostle, transforming themselves into the... Is that wolf in sheep clothing?
Yes, sir.
Is that wolf in sheep clothing?
Yes.
Would that not have to be around the message?
Yes.
Will that not be twins? Amen. For no marvel, for Satan himself is transforming an angel of light. These are, what is light? The message of the hour. They're going to come transformed as messengers of the message.
Amen.
There's no great thing if his what? Ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. So all of these here are talking about twins now. Remember that. All of these here, mixed multitude now, coming out, manifesting itself. Alright, now I'm going to show you that these men are wolf in sheep clothing, false apostle impersonators, is going to be represented as trees. And so these here, these men are ministers. These men are ministers. These men are called apostles also. They're called ministers here. They're called apostles here. They're called seducing spirit. And they are called wolf. Alright? Dress as sheep. Okay, so all these are. Okay, now, let's go back. But before we go there, I want to take one more thing. I want to take Revelation 2:2. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, thou cannot bear them which are evil. So these men are what we're going to call evil. Alright? They're evil. Now hit the word evil. Okay. Ekos, evil thing. Okay. Off, now watch carefully. It's of a bad nature. What nature are they? Bad nature. It's of a bad nature. So where do you think they get their nature from? Amen. So this is serpent seed we're leading with. Their nature is bad. Okay? Inasmuch as it ought to be. A mode of thinking, feeling, acting based. In other words, troublesome, interest. Okay, destructive. In other words, these here can't help how they behave. You could never change them. To change them, you've got to change your nature. And they never get the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It's impossible no matter how much you like them.
Amen.
You cannot change them. Their course is set. Alright? Alright, now, we're looking at their nature again, alright? Let's go back. Cannot stand them that are evil. You can't understand the way they think and act and the attitude towards the message and the message people. And thou hast tried them. That means they've tested them. Which say, in other words, know them that labor among you. So they tried them. They knew them that labor among them. Which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them to be. Just like Jesus said, your father's a liar. Amen. Amen. They lie. They're a liar. Seducers, liars. Alright? Now, this is religious liars here now. Alright, now, let us go to the book of Jude now, pick it up. 1 and 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though he wants you to know how the Lord having saved the people out of the land of Egypt. So Exodus saves you from denomination, but not save you to take a rapture. I can hear you. Alright, so they came out in an Exodus, the Lord having saved them under prophet with a token, with a pillar of fire, with 3 poles, having delivered them out, then turned around and did what? Destroyed them that believed not. Right? Now, let's read the 4th verse now. Why are they destroyed? For there are certain men crept in unawares. Who were of all ordained. In other words, ungodly. This is ungodly men. So the ungodly men are evil men because of their nature, unconverted. But they crept in unawares. Why did they creep in unawares? Because they were impersonators. Nobody noticed them. They're so, this is Pastor so-and-so, and this is Pastor so-and-so, and this is Pastor so-and-so. Who checks the pastor? Everybody's checking the sheep. Is that right? Everybody checking the Indians, nobody checking the chief. And that's the man they got to follow. Amen. Everybody want to know if the sheep is born again? Amen. The first man is the pastor. That's his first qualification. He must be converted. There were certain men crept in unaware who were before of all ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly. I can't hear you. Turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. And denying. I can't hear you. The Father and the Son. The only Lord God is the Father. And our Lord Jesus Christ is the Son. 1 John. And 5. Okay. Now. 1 John. Carefully now. 1 John 2:22. They deny. Okay, and who did that come out? That's from the mixed multitude in our day. Yeah. Alright, who is a liar? Wait a minute. These apostles were liars. They found them to be liars. Who is a liar? But he that denied Jesus is the Christ, is Antichrist, denied the Father and the Son. They made the Father and the Son one like your finger. Amen. So we know that these men in Jude are antichrist. Amen. Of course, you never met any, right? Whosoever denied the Son, save hath not the Father. But he that acknowledges and hath Father and Son also. Now, watch again now. Watch again. One more. Just one more. Let us go. Let's go to the 19th verse here. 1 John 2:18-19. Look at this Antichrist here now. They went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been at us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifest. They were not all of us. That's mixed multitude. They were with us.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right? Now, let's read the 18th verse so that everybody can understand what's going on. Little children, the last time, as you have heard, Antichrist singular shall come. That's the Pope prophesying to come around AD 369. Shall come. He shall come. Even now there are many, plural, whereby we know them. We know that this is the last day. So you have many Antichrists. All right. They went out from us. That means they were with them at one time. They were part of the mixed multitude. Amen. But they were not of us because why? Their nature is going to show it in their teaching. If they had been with us, they would not have continued with us. How can two walk together unless they agree?
Amen.
Right? But they went out that they might be manifest that they were not. To show you that mixed multitude was not all. All right. I'd like to go to my notes for a minute. Okay, so now these men are now called trees.
Amen.
Right? Hear what it says. Ye know them by their fruit. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. So what is a good tree? A good tree is one that has a good nature. A good tree is a good, born, baptized of the Holy Ghost son, who has a seed of God. So it says a good tree bringeth out good fruit, but a corrupt tree. So these men are corrupt trees. Why? They are evil because of their nature. Let me see if I can prove that. Ephesians 3 and 18. I'm not sure now. Let's. 2:18. Can you go up around the 17, 16, 14? All right. Check the 19th verse, maybe. Let me see. Oh, 4. It's Ephesians 4, 17. 4. You don't use it, you lose it. I haven't used this scripture for a long time. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that he henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds. That's the emptiness. Their doctrines are empty. Their concepts are empty. Having the understanding darkened. They're what? And what is the evidence of your Holy Ghost? A clear understanding? They're not converted. Because they are alienated from the gene of God, the nature of God. Through the ignorance that is in them. Because of the blindness of their. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. But we have not so learned Christ. In other words, they learned Christ a different way. Who taught them? These men.
Amen.
I can't hear you.
Amen.
Right? So they are alienated from the life of God. These men don't have seed. No seed.
Amen.
Let's prove that. Let's prove the two trees. These two trees are from different seed. Let's look at that now. Let us go to the book of 1 John 3 and 9. Whosoever is born of God, that means have the nature of God, cannot commit sin. It's impossible. For his seed remains in him. And he cannot sin because he is? Now if a son is a tree, I can't hear you. If a son is a tree, he cannot bring forth bad fruit.
Amen.
And fruit means teaching.
Amen.
And doctrine.
Right.
Why? He's got a filter.
Amen.
He's got a holy man taste.
Amen.
Amen. He's got a holy man filter. He's got a holy man taste.
Amen, brother.
It's impossible.
Amen.
Now, can I call a son a tree?
Yes, sir.
Can I call a ministry a tree?
Yeah.
Right? Okay, let's look now. Let's go back to my notes. See, now, so the corrupt tree is a corrupt ministry.
Yeah.
A corrupt tree is these men. Corrupt ministry.
Amen.
They can sin. And the word sin means they can misplace, dislocate, and misinterpret, but a son cannot do it.
Amen.
All right. Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Just like a son of God cannot practice sin.
Amen.
Amen. So, John 3 and 9 is talking about a son of God. Amen. But Matthew 7, amen, 18 is talking about a minister of God. A true minister of God, but a ministry of God, it's impossible for him to bring forth, amen, corrupt teaching. Amen. It's impossible for him to sin.
Amen.
In that 18th verse, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, as a son of God cannot commit sin.
Amen. Amen.
Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth. It cannot bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. We are dealing with twins here. We are not dealing with second chances in the resurrection.
Amen.
Therefore, by their fruit you shall know them.
Right.
The prophet said, what is their fruit? Notice, but it's what they produce that tells you the difference. By their fruit, Jesus said, you shall know them. Man does not gather grapes off a thistle. Even though the man does not guard the grapes of the thistle, even though the thistle might be right in the grapevine, that's right. That could be possible. But the fruit will tell. What is it? The word for the fruit for the season. That's what it is. They're teaching. They're teaching of what? The teaching of the season. What time is it? Man's doctrine, denominational doctrine, but of God's word for the season. All right, so we know this. I want to add one more. John chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And 33. You've done it. I've got a background on it. I've got to do it. If I don't line them up together, we'll just be scattered. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for a tree is known by its fruit. I want to make sure you get that clear. As long as the teaching is good, as long as the teacher is on the word, amen, don't look at the man. Don't look at how he look, how his voice sound, because the man who's old,
Charles Stanley, David Jeremiah.
I can call some people in the message, but I better not. I'm not in the mood today. Don't judge them by their appearance. That's going to deceive you.
Amen.
Judge them by what they're saying. Judge them by the doctrine. You get where I'm going? Amen. Because if you make the doctrine true, you make the ministry true. I can't hear you. But if you make that, if you pick up the doctrine as false, you make the ministry false.
Amen.
Get where I'm going?
Yes, sir.
All right. So, this simple question. Amen. You come from Message Church, don't you? Is the doctrine the same? Well, then you're going to have to make a judgment on that.
Amen.
That's how that works. This is not black, white, bird.
Right, so
only black, white, bird listen on the internet. Listen for him. They don't want these doctrines, but they want to know what we're saying.
Yes,
you talk about a man without ethics. Want to feed. Want to feed and still want to speak evil about it. My goodness. Amen. All right. Okay, now. I want you to notice it. All generation of vipers, how can you be in having the wrong nature? Having a wrong nature. Speak good things. If you got a good nature, if you got a nature of God, you're going to speak things that are beneficial for the people of God. But if you don't have it, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So your mouth, your words coming out is telling you what kind of nature you have, and your nature tells you what kind of tree you are.
Amen. Amen, brother.
You get it?
Amen.
All right. A good man out of the abundance of his treasure bringeth forth good, bring forth good things, and an evil man out of his evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. All right. My notes quickly. I'm finishing the background. Going up. Okay. Going up. I'm still. All right. That's okay. Sorry. You got to prove all things the scripture said, right? Prove me to discern, to test. Prove means to scrutinize. All right, in the Greek, it means to recognize as genuine after examination. That's how you tell the tree if it's real or true. You've got to scrutinize it. You've got to scrutinize the doctrine, their teaching. All right, going up. I'm skipping because I need to get to my material. All right. Okay, the characteristic, let's scrutinize them. Let's scrutinize it and make sure that we are what we are. First of all, in scrutinizing the Antichrist, to label it Antichrist and false vine now, they have to go through the scrutiny. What is the scrutiny of this? As soon as the king saw the vision he had made, he forced every person in his kingdom, in his dominion, to worship this image he made. He had made an image. Right? And it is believed by scholars, and which I do believe, that the spirit-filled person would see it. He worshipped Daniel, is what he did. And he made an image to Daniel, and he called it Belshazzar. He called Daniel Belshazzar, which was the name of his God. And he made an image and forced every person to worship that image. So two things. It's a forced worship. And second thing, it is an image. And an image is a creation. All right? Okay? You got it? Amen. So two things we're looking for Antichrist. It's a false worship, right? And it is the image of a creation. Image or creation. Creation of something, right? And he made an image and forced people to worship. I want you to notice that the beginning of the Gentile dispensation, when God dealt with them, they got haughty in their heart and forced every man to worship the image of a holy man. And the Gentile age was issued in with that and will go out the same way. The same way. A boycott. A what? Okay, let me write this down here. The characteristics so that you said scrutinize it, right? Test to see if it's real. You can't label something false unless you have all these identification. False. Worship. Boycott. And the worship of image, which is creation. 1, 2, 3 so far. Here's what the scripture says now. The same way a boycott, a mark, that will force people to worship and do the things that have been taught, do the things that we've been taught that was contrary to the word. So they're forcing you to worship something and someone contrary to the word. It's against the message. Now I just want to ask you something. Here's what the Bible said. Who changed the truth into a lie. Well, what is the truth? Isn't it the message? The truth is a message. Into a lie and worship and serve the creature. Does Jesus have a beginning? I can't hear you. Amen. Does Jesus have a beginning? Yes. Does God have any beginning? No. Amen. They worship the creature more than the creator. Amen. Now watch what I want to show you now. Let's take Trinidad for instance, right? Alright, so now what did they do? They boycott Brother Cyril. Green tall Cyril, amen. You are strengthening Brother Tony's doctrine. He said, you're no longer welcome in my pulpit. Then he called all the brothers in Guyana. Then he called the brothers in Suriname. Then he called the brothers in Barbados. He's calling the brothers in the Caribbean. What is he doing? He's causing a boycott against the truth. Only if you worship the creature, only if you worship contrary to the word, amen, you can belong in that body. You can belong. What is it? It's a forced worship. They are forcing you. Amen. And now, Brother Cyril is a preacher. Amen. The fivefold ministry, the fund goes by coming to preach. Then we give him finances, an offering. Then he takes and go to another place. He preaches so the gospel can continue. So they're not buying and selling. They will not permit him to operate in their economy. Is that right? So unless you buy or sell, unless you worship like them, yes, You know, in the early days, from the old building to here, I used to try to want to make peace with these men in case, you know, to see if we can get in and help them. All right, we say even let Hughes come in. And every time he come, he'll take a shot at us. Remember that? And you brothers were so upset. All right. Then one day, finally, I said, okay, he's talking about unity and fellowship and brotherhood. I said, okay, all right. I made up my mind maybe about 6 months later. I said, okay, maybe I'm wrong. I invited him again to come preach. He waited for the day that I was supposed to preach. He was supposed to preach, call me about 3 o'clock, and said he wasn't going to come. I said, all right, unless the good Lord, the pillar of fire, come down and talk with me, your dogs are dead. You ain't never going to see my pulpit. That's the end of that. Forget it. You all lovey-dovey want unity and everybody should be one. And now it's... Every time you come, you get a shot. Now, I want to say all of this to say this now. Watch carefully. Amen. He has no part with me. And he and we have no part with him. You can't. There's no part with each other. There's no party. You see, it's two different fathers, two different seeds. Amen. Unless I recant, amen, there will be no fellowship. Amen. I have to change the truth into a lie to get in with them. That is what Green wants. That's what Beckett wants. That's what these men want. They want you to change the truth into a lie. Amen. Otherwise, they're going to boycott you with their power, their influence, and their personality. He's a nice man. He's a good man. What has that got to do with a servant of God?
Amen.
You watch too much Hollywood preachers. That's what their problem is.
Amen.
It's a force, a boycott to force you to worship their oneness doctrine.
Amen.
Is it a mark of the beast already here? Let's look at the characteristic. This is not my scriptures. These are the Bible.
Amen.
Now watch again now. Here's the truth of it. Here, you want to hear the truth? They want to change the truth into a lie. The prophet says, this is the third angel, Brother Branham here. And the third angel followed, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast, that's a Roman system. What is a Roman system? Trinity. What is a Trinity? The Trinity make the creation a member of the Godhead.
Amen.
That's Baal worship, isn't it? To worship the creature above the creator is Baal worship. So they make him an eternal son.
Amen.
Second, worship the image of the beast. What is the image of the beast? Amen. That's Protestantism, which have Trinity and oneness.
Amen.
I ask you, isn't oneness taking the creation, the Son of God, and making him the creator? Is that not Baal worship, to worship the creation?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. So Brother Bram said, I'm not a oneness, I'm not a Trinitarian. I'm not a oneness, I'm not a Trinitarian. I don't believe Jesus could be his own father. Jesus had a father that was God. Amen. They want to change that lie.
Amen.
Amen. And make you worship the creature because the name Jesus just excites them.
Yes,
you got to know which Jesus. The Bible said there's another Jesus. You don't be excited about that one.
Amen.
Amen. You say, well, Jesus is Lord. There are bumper stickers all over cars where Jesus Lord ain't going to make it in heaven. Amen. The Bible said no man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost. It's going to be a revelation.
Amen. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Follow again. They want you to change. They want to force you, you see.
Amen.
All right, going up. The third angel was Brother Bill.
Amen.
All right. The worship of the beast and the image of the beast is to worship a Trinity Jesus or a oneness Jesus, which makes it another Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. That's carefully. There is a Trinity gospel and a oneness gospel, which is called another gospel. There is a Trinity baptism and a oneness baptism, which is another spirit or a false birth. Amen. Which is the mark of the beast.
Amen.
And don't even know it.
Amen.
The mark in the head is knowledge, and the mark and the hand is labor, religious service. Now, I'm just going to read a couple of this for you, all the way. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, judgment was given unto them. And I saw souls of them that were headed for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not received, had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received a mark in their forehead or in their hands. That's you and I. We are on thrones, brother. We might be one in a million. We might be the oddball. We might be the rejected bride. Amen. But brother, we still going to sit on thrones.
Amen.
He'll cause it all except the bride.
Amen.
Both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in the right hand or in there. Unless you've got their revelation, their oneness Jesus, their oneness gospel, they will boycott you.
Amen.
Amen. I have enough work here. It doesn't bother me a bit. But when last you all got an invitation in the last 15 years, so anywhere around here? Huh? You're living it. You're living the word, but don't even know it. Follow again. So there are two. There's in the message now, there's a mark of the beast identification, and out in the world is their identification. You get it? Yeah. There's the nominal world, and there's the twin world.
Amen.
See? Okay, now. And I saw, as it was, sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over the image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand in the sea having harps of God. Now, I'm just going to show you the mark of the beast quickly, and then I've got to punch something real quick, all right? You got to leave here with something today.
Yes,
these are all recaps, right?
Yes,
now, you see what the mark of the beast is? The mark of the beast is apostasy.
Right.
It's a person who thinks, well, Brother Joel, what is the title of this message? Is it called recapping? It's on my desktop? Oh, I didn't think I put that quote in there. All right. All right. Go on up. Life comes through the body, right? All
right.
So then that means the minister must have life.
Amen.
The minister must have life. Life comes through the body. If a man has the message and he's not born again, he can give you the message, but you'll never be born again either.
Amen.
Follow. Now, here what I want to show you. If life comes through the body, you are sealed after you hear the word of truth, and then you are born again and become a member. So you must have a member in the body who has life. Minister must have life. Then he preaches the word of truth, Ephesians 1, 13. After he preaches that and he has life, then there are people under him is going to have life. Then you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All
right?
Now, what I want to show you, after you hear the word of truth, if they reject it, if you reject the true doctrine, the true teaching, amen, then that determines their destination, whether they get the mark of the beast or not.
Yes,
if they reject it, rebel against it, fight against it, kill its influence,
uh-huh,
then that's the mark of the beast.
Amen. Sure.
So the mark of God is to receive the word of truth. Is that right? Amen. And the mark of the beast is to reject the word of truth. Not just the message. Denomination reject the whole message. But it's the mark of the beast in the message. The people who are in the message who reject the true revelation and reject it and rebel against it.
Amen. Amen.
I hope you see that.
Yes,
let's see if I can pick the quotes up. Can't receive the mark of the beast and then worship Christ. Because to receive the mark of God, to receive the mark of the beast, is to reject truth. If we reject truth, you can't worship. You can't take worship God in spirit and truth.
Amen.
You can't do it.
Amen.
So he says here, amen, you can't receive the mark of the beast and then worship Christ or be with him.
Amen.
But whosoever shall worship the beast or the image of the beast. So if you reject the baptism of the truth, true ministry that has life, that bring the true doctrine and teaching after you hear the word of truth. And after you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you worship God in spirit and truth. Because you're getting life through the doctrines. But if you reject it, rebel against it, how can you worship Christ? There's no spirit and truth.
Amen.
Then who are you worshiping? The beast and the image of the beast.
Yes, sir. Amen.
So here's what the prophet says. Now, Jesus said in the last days, according to Matthew 24, the 24th verse, that these two spirits, the ones that sealed with God and the ones that would be marked by the beast, the Antichrist, would be so close together till it will deceive the very elect if possible. So Matthew 24:24 is talking about twins in the message, and he's calling them Antichrist. Right? Is that what he says? The Antichrist will be so close? Alright, now, so now we have add all of these. With twins, we can say Antichrist.
Amen.
And with twins, we could say it's the mark of the beast.
Amen.
And we could say the example of that is Cain.
Amen.
He was a twin. He received the mark of the beast. Why? He rejected Abel's message.
Amen.
Is that right? He rejected Abel's message, received the mark of the beast. He saw jealousy, hatred, and rebellion against the message and the messenger Abel.
Amen.
All right, hearing now. And the seal of God. Any ministers know that the seal of God is a baptism of the Holy Ghost. Is that right? Ephesians 4:30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now remember, what is the mark of the beast? The mark of the beast is a carnal Esau to reject that birthright, which is what? The baptism of the Holy Ghost or the day of Pentecost. Then Esau will be bitterly trying to restore his birthright again, but there was no place for repentance. When you reject the Holy Ghost, you seal yourself outside of God's mercy. Now, how do you receive the Holy Ghost? After you hear the word of truth from a man who has life in the body. You get it? If you reject that man with the life, with that true doctrine, you reject the Holy Ghost. That's the only way to receive the Holy Ghost. So the rejection, the mark of the beast, is them that reject, amen, the true revelation of the open book of God's unveiling of himself for another Jesus, another gospel, and to rebel and reject the truth of it.
Amen.
You take the mark.
Yeah. Amen.
So what did Green do? He rejected. Shem rejected. And he's causing others to reject it even without hearing it. Follow again now. Mark of the beast again. Now we find that the first marking of the human being started in Genesis 4:15. God marked Cain. That's where the first mark of the beast was ever put. Was on Cain. Here in the beginning. Now you say Cain have the mark of the beast. A mark is a destination. It means it makes a difference. It separates something. You say you got a mark against you. A mark. But you never said had one seal against you. You got a mark against you. And a seal is a sign of ownership. Amen. A mark is a distinction. A seal is a sign of ownership. A mark of distinction. Mark is a distinction. The church is sealed by the Holy Spirit. Showed as ownership. God owns the church. But the mark of the beast is a wayward. The outcast that refused to come. To take and come God's provided way. Cain, as soon as he was marked, was sent away. We get it. That seals him away into the kingdom of God then. Grieve not the Holy Spirit will be a seal until the day of redemption. In the last day, there are going to be two classes of people. Them that has the seal and the others have the mark of the beast. That's right. So the seal of God is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Grieve not the Holy Spirit whereby you are sealed. Let me see if I can get these things. I don't want to read all of them. It's overkill. But I've got some of them that I have to read. Okay, right here. And it's already marked. Just reject the Holy Ghost and you're marked. Receive the Holy Ghost and you're marked. That's reject the Holy Ghost, you're marked. Receive the Holy Ghost, you're marked. Receive it once and see that what takes place. Receive it once. What's the mark of God? And you're sealed with your eternal destination. I'm going to stop right there with that and say and end this part of it. How do you receive the mark of the beast in the message? When you have a true ministry that has life. That is bringing to you the true gospel of the open book, the true Jesus, the true gospel and the true spirit, and you reject it to keep your oneness Jesus, your other gospel, your other spirit, you take the mark of the beast. You say, it doesn't matter what church you go to, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that have the mark of the beast heareth them. Are you catching how that works? All right. Now, you see, let's take it back now. So where did this come from? Where did this seed come from? Let's look at that. Close this off and put up your other set of notes. Okay. Now, you already saw the title of it, so I'm not going to... Let me show you what I mean here now. So you say a ministry, a man and his ministry... is equal to a tree.
Amen.
And the man and ministry teaching and doctrine is equal to fruits.
Amen.
Is that what the prophet is telling me? All right. Now, okay. Now, that means that in every local church, you're going to have a man. He's going to have a ministry. Which means in every local church, you're going to have a tree. Now, if the man is of God, his doctrine is going to be of God. He cannot sin. Right? He cannot bring forth evil fruit. So the man and the ministry becomes the tree of life to you. Amen. This is the twin now. The twin will have a man. They'll have a ministry. Right? That man will be a tree. Right? He is going to have teaching. Now, if this man is not converted, listen to the words, not converted, right? Then he'll never bring forth good fruit. So that will become the tree of death. Now, this whole thing here is considered a woman, the church. And the church is a woman or a city. She's called a woman, she's called a city. Alright? So we know she's called a city. And we know she's called a woman. Right? So then I can say a church or woman is a tree of life. Alright? The man here represents the tree of life. But the man is all included as the church. So in some places you can say it's a tree of life in your midst. Amen. I become the tree of life in your midst. Alright, now, watch, I want to show you again now. Well, I better read it for you. So you have two trees. If you take from this tree, you have the seal of God. Or favor, even if you're not born again. Amen. If you join with this, you're against this. Is that right? So you're anti. Amen. You receive the mark of the beast. Yes. That's the twins in the message. That's how simple it is. So I represent the tree of life to you. And my doctrine and teaching represents the fruit. Amen. Now, so let's read the prophet now. The message, plant and vine and where to plant. Good morning, sister. What's this little fellow's name? Frank Wayne Darby. You couldn't be related to Robert Darby, are you? Dabney. Frank Wayne Dabney. How old is he? 8 weeks. Hasn't been in this cruel world very long. Well, he is the fruit of your union. He is the what? So now you can, without union, there could be no fruit. So this man has to be in union, this church or man has to be in union with God. If he's in union with God, then he's a tree of life. And the fruit of that union becomes the teaching, and the teaching gives birth to a people. So the doctrine eventually manifests itself as sons of God. Are you not the fruit of your mother's womb? Amen. Isn't the church your mother in type?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Amen. All right. Now, I'm just going to replace God here as a representative by a prophet. If the man here is in union with this prophet, in a faithful union, he is in connection with God, in union with God, and becomes a tree of life. Okay. So, to have fruit, you need a union. Right. Say that. Okay. But David, you're a man of war. You're a man that shed blood. I can't let you do this. But I will promise you that through the fruit of your loin, I can't hear you. I'll raise up your sons, and he'll build a temple. Now, could he bring forth the fruit of his loin in type Solomon without Bathsheba?
No.
There's a union, isn't it?
Amen.
To bring forth Solomon in type. Really, what he's talking about was really Christ.
Yes, sir.
That is a type. But I'm showing you the fruit of the how it is used in the scriptures. Now, my dedication. Go on up. Lakeport. And the other day, whatever it was that happened to me, I saw the great results when the one that was speaking to me said, "This is your converts, the fruit of your ministry." So the children, converted children, through the teaching by the man who is connected to God,
amen,
you are the fruit of the tree of life. I can't hear you.
Amen.
You are the fruit of the tree of life.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying there? Now watch, let's read. Are you okay?
Yes.
I'm closing with this because I wanted to compact the whole thing, kind of bring the thing together for you just a little bit. Now watch carefully. Fruit of your union. Fruit comes through a union. Okay. Now watch, because he said, without me you could do nothing. Now watch how close you are to coming. Now, when this woman, he made him a helpmate, and she was to be his helpmate. You know, eating an apple, that wasn't what did it. Made them realize they were naked. Certainly it wasn't. It had to come through sexually. It had a sexual union. So then, I can say that if I have the right union with the word, and with the right head, I will produce fruits. You see, eating. All right. You know, eating an apple, that wasn't what did it, made you realize. Certainly it wasn't. It had to do, come through sex. So the eating, the fruit, was his teaching to her. His doctrine. By misplacing, dislocating, and misinterpreting something that God eventually would have brought to her, is that right?
Amen.
That would have brought forth the right fruits.
Amen.
Which was be sons of God. Sons of the right teaching produces sons.
Amen.
The right teaching or the right fruit produces the right fruits with the sons.
Amen.
I hope you're catching what I'm saying.
Okay,
certainly it wasn't. It had to come through sexually. It had to be. Because you realize they were naked when they were taken and this forbidden fruit. It was a forbidden teaching.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Now, I want you to notice that he made Eve. Is that right? And he made her with a body that we will not have in heaven. I mean, on the new heaven and the new earth. In the new heaven and new earth, she will have no organs.
Amen.
She will have no glands.
Amen.
She will have no womb.
Amen.
You get that?
Amen.
She will have no feminine sexual identification.
Amen.
Do you catch what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And for the man, in the future home, he will have no male sexual glands.
Amen.
He will have no feelings.
Amen.
No glands, no feelings.
Amen. Amen.
So part of the temptation, to make the, create the temptation, he had to design their body for the temptation.
Amen.
And the temptation was sex. He gave Adam and Eve the plumbing.
Amen.
Yet, they never felt the gland. They never felt the gland was all working in such a way that it was not perverted or corrupted.
Amen.
Think about it.
Yes,
he gave her all the plumbing. He gave him all the plumbing.
Yes,
right? He told Adam, stay away from this.
Amen.
You say, Brother Tony, is this true?
Yes.
That's what he's telling me here.
Amen.
Adam didn't have that in his mind. He had everything, like you have all the seed, but you're not adopted yet. You haven't come to some kind of thinking yet. Well, Adam had all of it, but Adam never was aware of it. You say, prove it to me. Your children have all their plumbing. Amen. Right? But their mind is not there.
Amen.
You catch what I'm saying?
Yes.
So eventually, he would have gotten somewhere. An awareness. And God would have showed him when and how and everything else. But he didn't. Somebody foreran the situation.
Amen.
Follow again now, what I want to show you. Hear what he says now. He says, it had to be because they realized they were naked when they taken this forbidden fruit. What is the forbidden fruit? Forbidden teaching. It was a forbidden teaching. God never did teach the woman that.
Amen.
Ain't a woman a fruit tree?
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Ain't a woman the fruit tree?
Yeah. Amen.
So the tree in the midst of the garden was the woman. And he said, don't take anything from the woman. Take it from me.
Amen.
I am God. I've got life.
Right.
Don't take it from the woman.
Amen.
When it says Jesus the tree of life, we're talking about God. Because God is the only source of life.
Yes.
I can't hear you.
Amen.
Amen. You got two trees.
Yes.
One is the woman. In the midst of the garden, it's a woman. And when they say in the midst of the garden, it's talking about sexually, don't go there. Never explained it to Adam. Just told it. Okay? My notes. Somebody wants me to not read it. Ain't a woman a fruit tree? Aren't you the fruit of your mother? Well, are you a fruit of your mother without a man? A woman cannot give forth life.
Amen.
She cannot bring forth life. It takes a union from the man. The man gives the life.
Amen.
The man gives the blood.
Yes.
So when we talk about the woman, you have the woman in the garden neutral.
Amen.
If she takes from God, she becomes a tree of life. If she takes some serpent, she comes the tree of death.
Amen.
I can't hear you.
Amen.
And he that's born of a woman is furious and full of trouble.
Amen.
Amen. But if she had a union with the man, she would have bring forth the firstborn, which would have been Christ.
Amen.
Let's see if the prophet is teaching you this part of the mystery. Hold on now. Remember, you all settled. When I say I was a tree of life to you, you all bought that pretty good. Isn't that true? You bought that pretty good. All right. So let's see if we can take it back into Genesis. It had to come to sexual. It had to be because they realized they were naked when they taken the forbidden fruit. So the teaching made them aware of their body.
Amen. Amen.
And it made them come into a thinking that stimulated them biologically. Because if Adam's body was not working, they could not have a baby.
Amen. Right. Amen.
If Adam's body was not working, Adam had to become aware and he had to become aroused by her before he can have a baby.
Amen.
So Adam did go that way.
Yeah.
I hope you're adults. You understand what needs to be done here. I want to show you now. This here, what we are doing there to produce the natural, that produced a natural mark of the beast,
uh-huh.
And it produced the mark of God too. Abel represented the mark of God, a child of God.
Amen.
Amen. So the mystery of how those two came have to be tied up with this woman. Follow again. It had to be because they realized they were naked when they taken this forbidden fruit. Now this fruit is called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the word knowledge in the Bible is science.
Amen.
She did not get it by revelation. I don't care.
Amen.
It was not a revelation from God.
Amen.
Faith cometh by hearing.
Amen.
Also doubt and perversion come by hearing too.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. The opposite of righteousness is perversion. Close enough. Ain't a woman of a fruit tree? Ain't you the fruit of your mother? What's the fruit that was forbidden? He said that was the fruit that was forbidden. Forbidden to be taken. What was the fruit now? What did he say the fruit was? It had to come through what? He said it was an apple. Read the quote in the beginning. I think I'm reading for myself. Come on down. Let me see. You all must be tired. Okay? All right. Okay, good. You know, eating an apple, that wasn't it. So he's talking about the fruit as the sex act.
Yes, sir. Yes. Amen.
Which is the taking of seed.
Yes.
In the womb, which is what teaching does. It puts seed in your womb.
Amen.
All right? So this is what he's doing. He's taking it. He's taking it. He said, you know, eating an apple, that wasn't what they did. What they did, he's talking about the fruit as an action.
Amen.
As a doing.
Yes.
As an idea.
Amen.
Them realized that they were naked. Certainly it wasn't. It had to come true sexually. So right there, he put the fruit of sex. Am I reading that right?
Yes. Amen.
Do not partake of the fruit of the tree. Of all the fruits you might eat, trees you might eat, but of this woman, don't partake of sex.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I wonder if I'm reading the prophet wrong.
No.
Am I reading him wrong?
No,
sir. Certainly it wasn't. Now what is sex? Sex is a union. Has to do with reproduction, has to do with image. It has to do with nature, genetics, genes. I can't hear you. Attribute characteristics. It has to do with race, propagation. Oh, it has to do with the population of the earth. It has to do with bringing forth children in the church. I can't hear you.
Amen.
You've got to have the right. If I don't have the right connection, I could be the wrong tree.
Amen.
What kind of children will come forth?
Right.
Oh, ain't God good?
Amen.
Follow again now. We're bringing it. You're supposed to have a church revival, isn't it supposed to be?
Yeah.
Amen. Not out there with a whole bunch of people, but a church revival.
Yeah.
Amen. Shepherd and sheep is supposed to grow closer.
Yeah.
You and I are supposed to become closer.
Yeah.
United. Trustworthy. Amen. One. And one hurt, all hurt.
Amen.
Amen. We only know that by doctrine, but it's going to become reality.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Marriage and divorce. Everybody okay?
Yeah.
You said, Brother Tony, that was before the seals. Okay. Watch it now. Now we find out debt was caused. Now, what is debt? Debt is the product of the union between the woman and the wrong teacher. I can't hear you.
Amen.
That was debt. Debt is caused of sin of the woman. Come to the woman and not the man.
Amen.
By her way of living her life.
Amen.
By her union, by the choice of union that she took.
Amen.
Amen. That brought debt.
Right.
And that debt is and the product of that is because the union was sin. So sin is a misplaced and dislocated, a misinterpreted, or it is a joining with the wrong seed.
Amen. Amen.
By her way of living, and by her, all death comes. Her way of giving life is death.
Amen.
How many knows that? Job, if you want to put that down, you got a question. I got a scripture wrote down here for every bit of this. If you want to read it, if there a man that is born of a woman is few days and full of trouble, is that right? Now there's no other way for a man to be born is either because even Jesus was born of a woman.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
The only man that was not born of a woman was Adam.
Amen.
So why was Jesus born of a woman? He was born of a woman to condemn that woman was not supposed to bring forth.
Amen.
Not in that way.
That's right.
Not sexual.
Amen.
So him not being born sexual showed that woman Mary partaked of the right fruit.
Amen.
Yes. By faith she said, be it unto me according to thy word.
Amen.
And she produced the right kind of son.
Amen.
So in type Mary become represented with union with God, become a tree of life, and the fruit become the son of God.
Yes.
The fruit of her womb.
Amen.
By faith now we're talking about. Not literal. Not literal. All right? Her way. Now watch what he goes on to tell you. Man is born about a few days and full of trouble. Is that right? He cometh up like a flower. He's cut down, wasted away, and so forth. Every man that's born of woman is born in death, and as soon as he comes. But when he is born into the creation of God. Now what's the creation? Baptism of the Holy Ghost. I can't hear you. That's what makes a new creation, a baptism of the Holy Ghost. But when he's born into the creation of God, he cannot die. He is from that other tree that was in the garden of Eden. Christ, eternal life comes by the tree. Now I want to make this clear. He calls the woman a tree. But to have a fruit, the woman has to be joined because she has no life. She has an egg. So when she joined with the wrong seed and the wrong species, she produced death.
Yes. Amen, brother. Yes.
If she had waited and by faith did like Mary, in the right season, in the right time, she would have produced life.
Amen. Amen, brother.
That which is not of faith is sin. Amen. Romans 14, 28, 29, somewhere around there. All right, what is it? But when he is born, okay, now, follow again what I want to say. Oh, you say she was a tree. Well, if he's typing Eve as that, are we not a church?
Yes.
Am I not a type of Eve?
Yes.
Isn't that my husband a type of William Branham, a type of Christ? Am I not getting the seed from him?
Yes, sir.
I'm not getting William Branham's seed. Yes. I'm getting God's seed. He used that man.
That's it, brother.
Oh, I can't hear you.
Amen.
Amen. That becomes Christ to me. Is that right? I become the tree.
Yes.
This union produced the teaching.
Yes,
I propagate that teaching. It produced sons and daughters of God. Born with eternal life.
Amen.
Life comes through the body.
Amen.
Remember, we went all the way back and show you a man is a tree. And then all of a sudden, a woman, the prophet is bringing a woman is a tree. But a woman is a church. I'm considered church.
Amen.
Follow again. You say, well, she was a tree. Sure. Well, they said, thou shalt not take of this tree. God said in Genesis back there, thou shalt not take of this tree. He's calling this tree the woman. And this is marriage and divorce.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Well, the woman is the tree. She is the fruit tree. You're the fruit of your mother. You're the fruit of eager faith. You're the fruit of my ministry. Amen, because I have a union. Amen, I have a union with God.
Amen.
If I have a union with God, I can't bring forth life without Him.
Amen.
It is His seed. And when that becomes to me, becomes a tree, produces fruits, and that becomes a teaching and the doctrines.
Amen.
Well, the woman is the tree. She is the fruit tree. You're the fruit of your mother. The fruit of the womb is you. That's right. And when the fruit of the tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden as Christ. Through the woman come death. Through the man in the original creation come life. To be born of a woman is death. To be born of Christ is life. Get that idea? There's where. Now you see where the goodness went. The goddesses went to. Don't you? Now I want to say a couple of things here before I close. When it says you are born of Christ, it means the tree. It means that the life comes, but the life cannot come. He is divine. He are the branches.
Right. Amen.
The branches are the fivefold ministry.
Amen. Amen,
brother. Amen. And you are the fruit of that ministry.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So you got to watch it now. You don't go directly to Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Because if you can go directly to Christ, you can finish the fivefold ministry. You can finish the church.
Yes,
do away with that.
Amen.
He's going to go back through, and we're going to you're going to partake of Christ through the union, amen, with the body.
Amen.
And that is why faith cometh by hearing.
Yes.
After you hear the word of truth. From who?
Amen, brother.
Amen. The fruit of the womb is you. That's right. And when the fruit of the tree that was in the Garden of Eden is Christ. Through the woman come death, through the man in the original. Now, through the woman come death. Well, you see, right there he's telling you a secret without saying it. The woman by herself could not bring forth nothing. She could produce nothing. Through the woman with the wrong head produced death.
Amen.
But the woman with the right head produced life.
Amen. Yes, sir.
The woman cannot produce life at all.
Amen.
She cannot produce death or life on her own.
Amen,
it must come from either Satan or God.
Amen.
Follow again. Through the woman, come death. Through the man, in the original creation, come life. To be born of a woman is death. To be born of Christ is life. Get the idea? That's where you want to see. So now I want to make two things. When he says the woman, he's talking about the wrong woman with the wrong head. The woman with the wrong head. And he's talking about Christ, which means the church with the right head.
Amen.
I can't hear you. Church with the right head. Christ is the church with the right head. Amen. Because if you could be born again outside of the church, you don't need it.
Amen.
You see? All right. Now, you say, Brother Tony, can the woman, the church, the ministry, all be considered a tree of life? Listen to this. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Now, let's go to this word wholesome. Well, what does the fivefold ministry do? Isn't it speak? Doesn't it represent the tongue? Doesn't the mouth out of the heart? And if you out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaks.
Amen.
And if you're a good tree, you're going to speak good things.
Amen.
Amen. Now, it's a word healing. Right? It's a word health, divine healing, cure. You see, David's prophet, bring a strong mind, curable. Now, what I want to show you, go back to 74. It's the word Rapha. Jehovah, you ever hear about Jehovah Rapha? Okay, let's go to 74:95. It's Rapha, Jehovah Rapha, God my healer.
Amen.
Amen, God my healer. But how does God speak? Through the church. Amen, he brings healing through the church.
Yes.
All right, follow again now. Healing, make health, to make healthy, a healer, a physician, of hurts of nation, involving restored favor, of individual distress, it will heal you. You see, going up. Amen, of pottery, he'll put it back together. Amen. He'll fit you back together. All right. In order to get healed. Okay, so now we're looking here with the idea that this is, what's that? Exodus 15, what is that? I'm the Lord that healeth thee. Or whatever it is. Anyway, that's Rapha. All right. Okay. You don't have to get it, brother. It's okay. It's somewhere in Exodus 15 somewhere. All right, let's go back to my notes quickly. I'm trying to get through it. So now, this wholesome tongue is a tree of life. This is healing, isn't it?
Amen.
All right, now let's go to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. All right, now, this is the commission given to our prophet. For the time will come when they will not endure. Hit this word sound. That's it. Oh, sound doctrine. Doctrine that's wholesome. Amen. So therefore, Brother Branham was a tree of life to us.
Amen.
He was connected with God. He became a tree of life. And he expected to have fruit. The fruit becomes the fivefold ministry. The born again fivefold ministry. And then from that born fivefold ministry, they become a tree of life.
Amen.
Ah.
Amen.
Wholesome words. A tongue.
Amen.
A wholesome tongue. A healthy tongue.
Amen.
Amen. Where is he going to get that? A converted man. Amen. And then he's in connection with God. Then that brings forth what? Fruits from the tree of life.
Amen.
Safe, sound. Amen. It's all right. To be sound, to be well, to be in a good health.
Amen.
Amen. They will not enjoy it. They refuse the tree of life and take the mark of the beast. Now if this is a wholesome tongue, is a tree of life, to reject it is to take the mark of the beast.
Amen.
Say, you take too much on yourself, brother. Well, let's just follow the scriptures and not our feelings.
Amen.
And see where it ends up.
Amen.
Use of Christians whose opinions are free from any admixture of error. Of one who keeps the graces and is strong. Now, who is that? Let's go back to the scripture again. That's Brother Branham. This is his commission. I charge you, therefore, go unto the Lord Jesus, amen, who shall judge the quick and the dead. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure. Who was given that commission? Not Timothy. Amen. That's a prophecy for William Branham in the end time.
Amen. Amen.
That's the end time evangelism. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust. That means they'll go after their own kind of trees.
Yeah.
Heap to themselves what? teacher, you see they got the wrong tree, brother.
Amen.
Have an itch in ear. And they shall what? Turn away their ear from the truth. And shall turn into.
Amen.
And you know they read their Bible at fables? They will read that God raised Christ from the dead. And they will read that Jesus said, my doctrine is not my own. And still call Jesus the Son of God, the Word.
Amen.
God. He is a word like a prophet. The Word come to a prophet. He is a living Word. The clearest defining of the Word. But God is the Word.
Amen.
They see, they turn to fables.
Amen.
They don't even know it.
Amen.
Okay, everybody happy?
Amen.
Are you beginning to see this thing, Clara? You see that we are, you say, well, I wish I was in a garden, you're in a garden right now.
Amen.
You have the chance to eat from the tree of life right now.
Amen.
Your attitude towards the tree, amen, is your attitude towards God.
Amen.
Because it is in union with Him these teachings come.
Amen.
Okay, let's go back to my notes. I can do some things here, but I better not. So a wholesome tongue is a, where's supposed to be the most healing tongue there should be? It's not the healing that comes from the Word. He sent His Word through the ministry to heal you spiritually, mentally. Amen. To remind you of the promises of Calvary that you can be healed.
Amen.
It's a tree of life to you, brother.
Amen.
Oh, yes, sir. What is it? It's a 12 manner fruits being born from this tree. The, what is it? It's the doctrines of the apostles. Amen. And what is it? It is the life of the root, Jesus Christ Himself.
Amen.
The fruit of the righteous. Amen. The fruit of the righteous. Now watch carefully now. Let's go to Hebrews 11 and 4. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The fruit of a righteous is the tree of life. Abel offered unto God by what? By faith. Is that by faith? By revelation. You heard me say this many times. I love this scripture. It is the most comforting scripture for me. Righteousness don't come by my own. It comes by revelation.
Amen.
By your revelation you declared whether you're righteous or not.
Amen.
By revelation. Abel offered unto God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. By which he obtained witness that he was. Therefore, out of his mouth, he became a tree of life. That is why God told Cain, go talk to your brother. He has become a tree of life. If you eat from his tree, you will be received.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Abel became a tree of life.
Amen.
If this is a tree of life, bringing forth these fruits and teaching. If their doctrines are different in the message churches around here, amen, Beckett and Green and these different men, Shem and different ones, then that can't be a tree of life too.
Amen.
That's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's death.
Amen.
And their children will be killed with death because that's their fruit.
Amen. Exactly.
Follow again. Obtain witness that he was God testifying of his revelation. See that gifts there? Gifts means his revelation.
Yes.
God testifying that his revelation, the thing that God told him was true. Amen. And by it being dead yet, tree of life, brother.
Amen.
Go back to my notes. So, wholesome tongue is a tree of life. She is a tree of life. Okay, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth soul is wise. Okay, now how do you win a soul? Amen. Okay, it's after you hear the word of truth. You got to have life in yourself. Let's read now the one before that. I missed it. She is a tree of life to them that hold upon her. And happy is everyone that retaineth her. So let's go to Proverbs 3 and 5. Let's look at it. Let's look at it. Trust in the Lord with. Now, God don't ever come down to talk with you. So the trust in the Lord is the trust in his vindicated prophet.
Amen.
And lean not to your own understanding. In other words, leave all your denomination, human ideas. Trust unto the thinking of a prophet.
Amen.
Is that right? That prophet message, that prophet and the message is the tree of life to you. Now watch what it is. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord, that's the prophet. And depart from everyone that has an evil nature that is contrary to that prophet. Separate yourself from all unbelief. You know these people going on that internet site who are not even born again and getting trapped and falling away like flies. Unconverted men who are not satisfied, eating from a tree of life, is going there in the sinner's internet, reading accusations against the message and messenger, and dying like flies. Be not wise in your own eyes. In other words, amen. Lay down your own understanding, your own thinking, your own wisdom. Respect what the prophets say and depart from evil. Is that ready? Reading it right? Now, watch carefully. It shall be hell to thy neighbor. Wait a minute. I thought a wholesome tongue. Amen. I thought sound doctrine. It shall be hell to thy neighbor. It's the self same thing. He is a tree of life unto us.
Amen.
Now, what is that? It means it's going to nourish you like a mother's umbilical cord. I can't hear you.
Amen.
It will nourish you. It will develop you.
Amen.
It will bring you forth as sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
And what is marrow to your bones? It will produce, amen, the right kind of immune system.
Amen.
The marrow produces your blood.
Yes.
Amen. Which has the strength, amen, in your immune system.
Amen.
And brother, you're going to have the right kind of T cells and B cells. There ain't no cancer can take your body. Amen. You are immune from the inside out.
Amen.
Your marrow is the strength, buddy, of your blood, of your life. Amen. Honor the Lord with thy substance. In other words, support that tree of life. Nourish its root. Bring your tithing, your offering. Amen. And the first fruit of all thy increase. In other words, how are you going to honor the Lord? Honor the tree of life. Nourish it. Help it. Amen. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. In other words, don't go, amen, and nourish the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't go nourish the twins. How can you pay tithing to a man, amen, who's working against the true Jesus, the true gospel, the true spirit?
Amen.
How can you do it? How can you, you know, support a man who's killing the influence of the truth? So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. That's blessings, that's prosperity. Amen. From the tree of life. Amen. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Who chastens you? The Lord don't come down directly. A lot of time it's a ministry.
Amen.
Despise not. Amen. Neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord, what? Did he place a tree of life there? Amen. Sometimes you come and you partake of something from that tree, man, and it gives you a good purge, a good cleaning out. Sometimes it gives you a good whipping, a good stoning, a good scorching.
Amen.
Even as the Father is Son in whom he delighted. Let's go on up. Happy is the man that findeth what? Amen. Now out of his mouth cometh. Amen. Let's run that down quickly now. Where's wisdom to be found? Not in the land of the living. Amen. It is found in Proverbs 2 and 6. Let's run them quickly. Let's see where that comes from. Amen. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He laid up sound wisdom for the righteous. Amen. Who's the righteous? Them that come from the tree of life. Okay, now, follow again. 2 and 6 and 7. Okay, then, Proverbs 16:23. Is it right? Yeah, 16:23. The heart of the wise. Who's that? Who's the heart of the wise? That's God. Teacheth his mouth. Who is prophet? The wise God teaches prophet wisdom. Out of his lips, that's the priest, comes knowledge. Amen. Where's wisdom to be found? Okay, let's go back to our scripture now. The next one, Proverbs 3. I think you go back one more. Right there. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. How do you find wisdom? You find that tree of life. You say, well, I found a prophet. Amen. If you don't find a church with a ministry, amen, you have missed the tree of life again.
Amen.
For the merchandise of it is better than merchandise of silver and so forth, the things of the world. She is more precious than rubies and all the trees to be desired. Now, what are you called? The wise what? Virgin and a wise, he that is wise winneth what? Souls. They got to know how to win souls. And they got to know how to quicken souls. Unless you have life. This is the woman right here. Length of days of life is on her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. Length of days, amen. Watch now, her ways are pleasant, and all her parts are peace. Now I want to ask you, is not what Brother Jones is doing? Is that not what letting off the pressure? Amen. Roles and relationships. Amen. These different doctrines that teach you about eating and food and all these things. Amen. Is that not part of the message? Is that not wisdom? Then our days of life. Amen. Now, I'm talking about this wisdom now of this woman. Amen. This woman, she is a tree of life. She, this woman with wisdom, is a tree of life to them that lay hold on her. And happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, understand, established the heavens, and so forth. My notes quickly. I'm almost at the end. Yeah. Some of you are already rested and resurrected. Don't act like it's a strange world. All right. Well, almost the end there. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth soul is wise. Hope deferreth maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, who's our real desire? It's Christ. The real word. And the life. Now, are you receiving that in your soul? It's a tree of life. Amen. And then they are wise shall shine and bright as for men, and they that turn away the righteous as the stars forever. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some everlasting life and some to shame and corruption. Why? The wise shall shine. Who is the wise? Amen. Seven church age messenger. They are the wise. They shine. Is that right? Okay. Now, the question was asked. This is the last one. The question, next question was asked to the prophet. Was it a literal tree from which Eve ate the fruit? And the prophet is going to tell you it is not a literal tree. The tree was represented by the woman.
Amen.
All right, now watch what he says. Was it a literal tree from which Eve ate the fruit? She saw it was good for food. Now that's the heart of the question now. So let's see how he answers it. All right, brother, sister, whoever it was, let's go back to Genesis. Find out something here. Let's go to Genesis. So you want to know, is it a literal tree? And that's what they want to know. Is it a literal tree that Eve ate of? All right, now, let's go. Now, all right, listen to real close now. Now, I'll bring the story up. It was pure and holy. There was no sin or no defilement. Now, I'll get this first question. The tree in the life, in the middle of the garden, in the midst of the garden. The tree in the garden, in the midst of the garden. In the midst of the tree. Now, the tree in the life, the middle of the garden, in the midst of the tree. The tree was the woman. Is it literal? Is he telling you the tree is literal? No, it was not a literal tree. He's telling you here, it's symbolic. The tree was the woman. Now, I'll prove that to you by the scriptures. So he's answering, the question is the tree the woman partake of literal? And he said, I'm going to answer it. Right? So right here, he says the tree was a woman. Is it literal? No, it was not a literal tree. Now, I'll prove that to you in the scripture. Just be patient. Well, we'll forget first whether she conceived before she knew Adam or not. Listen. And they heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees. And the Lord called unto Adam and said, why art thou? And he said, I heard the voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. Now he did not know that the day before. Something had happened. Something revealed to him that he was naked. And I hid myself. See, the prophet placed that in there. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? The prophet knew it had to come somehow. Hast thou eaten of the tree? Now, he just made, you know, listen, the woman, you know, you kind of found out the tree and the woman. You found out a secret about a woman and sex. That's what you found out. Where did you find that out? Eating of the tree made him realize he was angry. As I often said, this is a joke. I don't mean it for a joke. But if eating apples caused a woman to realize they're naked, we better pass the apples again. See, it wasn't naked. It wasn't a tree. Notice that. It wasn't a tree, a apple they ate. It was sexually. That's the second quote. It wasn't a tree literal. And it wasn't a literal fruit apple. It was the woman and sex. Right? He's literally telling you that now. Watch. Hast thou eaten of the tree wherefore I commanded that thou should not eat? And the woman, and then the man said, the woman which thou givest me to be with me, she gave me the tree of the tree, and I did eat. Now the eat was the sex, the tree was the woman. You catch that? All right. And the Lord said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me. So now the woman says, hey, look, the serpent showed me this. All right? And the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. In other words, she did partake of the sexual act. Right? But the serpent is the one who beguiled her into it. Okay, long time before she ever had conceived by Adam. Adam knew her, and she conceived and brought forth Abel. But I want to ask you, just from a literal standpoint, now to prove to you that she was the tree. So it was, so he said, I want to prove to you, you see, the tree was not literal, the tree was a woman. You see, and every woman is a fruit tree.
Amen.
Now that brings a lot of great concepts to us that we are a woman. And if we're in contact with God, we'll bear forth fruit. If this church is in contact with God, the right life, she will produce the right kind of children.
Amen.
And if we're in contact with God, we'll have the right seed or teaching to bring forth children of that kind.
Amen.
You get that? Okay, now, if you'll notice now, he said, every woman is a fruit tree. How many know that? Aren't you the fruit of your mother? Now, you couldn't be the fruit of your mother if she was not in contact with someone. See, fruit takes union.
Amen.
Certainly you are in the midst of the tree, the fruit that she did not touch. So you see what he said? In the midst of the woman, he's calling her sexual orientation, a sexual, you know, glance. He's calling, hey, that is part of the fruit. That's the sex act that she did not, you know, that she did not touch of the tree. The fruit that she did not touch in the midst of the tree. See, if you all notice, wasn't Jesus the tree of life? Didn't he promise over in Matthew? Now watch carefully now. I'm the bread of life that come down from heaven. Now where does bread come from? The wheat plant. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Right? Now the wheat plant has to be germatized.
Amen.
Right? That's God's union with that man that produced that life.
Amen.
And that becomes a tree. Right? Now there's a lot of things I can put in right here about Christ. But let's just leave that there for a minute. If a man eats of the woman. Notice the ark. If a man eats of the tree. He said the woman is a tree.
Amen.
If the man eats of the tree.
Amen.
If the man eats of the woman, in what way? Sexual way.
Amen.
Right? If a man eats of the woman. And look, through the birth, by the birth off by the woman, we all die. Because we are subject to death. Is that right? Through a birth of the woman. Now a woman cannot give birth unless she has a union. Then that brings a fruit.
Amen.
Right? So the secret here is that if the woman leans towards the right seed, she becomes a tree of life.
Amen.
If the woman leads to the wrong seed, she's a tree of death. And that is the two twins in the garden. That's the twins.
Amen.
Follow again. Through the birth of the man, we all live forever. Now, when you say the birth of the man, now, watch what I want to show you. Brother Bam uses this all the time. You're born of the man, you're born of the man, you're born of the man tree. Right? But is it not that the man gives birth, we are birthed by the man through the right church?
Amen.
Yes.
Through the woman. You see, he's leaving pieces out to be explained. That is part of the mystery.
Yes.
He's leaving it out. To be born of the man is to be born of a seed that comes through the preaching of the word, the church, the woman.
Yes. Amen, bro.
You see? Now, if a man eats of the woman, he looks through the birth and so on. Through the birth of the man, we all live forever. The woman is a tree of death. The man is a tree of life. Now, how is the woman a tree of death? She was neutral. She is tree of death because she carried the wrong seed.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Now, the man is a tree of life, for the woman doesn't even bear fruit. Now, this is the secret. He's going to give it to you. For the woman doesn't even bear life in her own. But how can she bear death unless she's carrying the seed or teaching of death?
Amen.
See, that's exactly right. The life germ comes from the man. So how can she produce death? Death came from Satan. Eve was alive.
Amen.
How did she become that? With the seed.
Amen. Amen.
Exactly. Life germ comes from the man. Correctly. It goes into the woman. Well, what life seed? If it's life, that seed that come from the serpent, it's death. If the life seed come from Christ, then you're born of Christ.
Amen.
And the woman's nothing but an incubator, and the baby's not connected. Only the navel cord. Well, if it's right, it'll be a tree of life.
Amen.
I read that for you.
Yeah.
Not one speck of the mother's blood is in the baby. Born in her blood, but not one speck in the baby. Read the doctor's book and you'll see. You see, it's not a speck of it. She's just the egg. That's all. And the life comes from the man. Now, I want to stop right there. If I am the right woman, if I am the right church, then the seed that I get has no blood of mine. It has nothing of mine.
Amen.
It'll produce the Son of God.
Amen.
It'll produce the right kind of children.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Because I can't nourish you with anything of my own.
Amen.
It can only be nourished by Him.
Amen.
Through the umbilical cord of the message.
Yes, sir. Amen.
All right. Now here he goes on to show you again. He says, the woman is nothing but an incubator. The baby is not connected. Only the navel. Not one speck of the mother's blood is in the baby. Born in her blood, but not one speck in the baby. You go fine. Read a doctor's book or ask your doctor. You'll see it's not there. No, sir. Not one speck of it at all. She's just the egg. That's all. And the life comes from the man. So how can she bring death? So when he's talking about that, he's putting it in a form that has a hidden language in it. That the woman really becomes life and death based on the seed she's producing.
Amen.
The seed that she took.
Amen.
The teaching that she takes.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Oh, it's a beautiful type to show that through the woman, through the natural birth, we have to die. Because we were dead to begin with. And the only through the man Christ we can have life. And there's two trees in the garden. Can't you see it? And watch. And in that day there was a cherubim set a God in this tree. Now, which, if this is a tree, and let's take Luther. He was the right tree. He was the right woman. He was a tree of life. His tongue was a tree of life. Wholesome words. Doctrine. A tree of life.
Amen.
All right? So he is a tree of life. And was he not guarded by one of the angels, the cherubims, like a man with the sword?
Yes, sir.
The tree of life.
Amen.
And did he not make a way for them to come and partake of the tree of life? Was not Luther the tree of life that we could go and partake of? See, so we are looking at a type here that the tree of life represents the man and woman. That's why he calls it the bride tree.
Yes,
the tree of life and the bride tree is the same tree.
Amen.
Is how you're looking at it. If she is born of his body, she is still the tree of life, even though you call her the bride tree.
Amen.
This is a beautiful type to show that the woman through the natural birth and so forth. He said, man tried Christ Jesus. And there are two trees in the Garden of Eden. Can't you see it? And watch, in the last days, there has been cherubim set a guard in this tree. And they treated that if they ever tasted that tree, that life tree, they would all live forever. Wouldn't Luther live forever?
Amen.
Didn't Luther receive eternal life and them that are under Luther?
Yes.
Wesley, eternal life and so forth?
Yes.
Well, that's right there.
Amen.
They've tasted it. Have we not tasted of William Branham?
Yes.
Amen. Have you not continued to taste from me? Well, as long as I'm connected to William Branham, it's the same tree.
Amen.
It's not a different tree. It's the same tree.
Amen.
And as long as William Branham is connected to Jesus, amen, that's the same tree. As long as Jesus is connected to God, it's the tree of life.
Amen.
That's how that works, friend.
Yes,
all right, now, Just give me a couple of minutes. Let me finish it off. Tree of life, they would be live forever. How many knows that? They all live forever. And the first time they could taste it, the angel said, we'll guard it. And they put a cherubim. They had a flaming sword towards the east to guard it. They took it back to the east and guarded that tree. With flaming sword, so they could not get to it. See, this tree. And when Jesus came, he said, I'm the bread that come down from heaven. Man, eat this bread, you'll never die. Notice the eat represents a sexual act, spiritual sexual act. Spiritual multiplication, spiritual sexual act. Now that bread does not come directly from Jesus. It comes in portion in every seven church ages.
Amen.
I can't hear you.
Amen.
That's the bread. That's a sexual act.
Amen.
The spiritual act I'm talking about.
Yes.
All right. There's your tree. There's your tree. There's your woman.
Amen.
There's your sex that brings death. You see, just as sure as there's a sexual, there's death left in it. So he's showing you that if the woman was not shown to reproduce by the serpent through sex, that brought that made her the tree of death.
Amen.
But if the woman had come through the way Eve, let it be it unto me according, and waited, she would have been the tree of life.
Amen.
And she would have produced, amen, Christ Jesus, the firstborn.
Amen. Amen.
Didn't the prophet say that? He teaches that? Amen. Now let's take back to Cain. And now I don't want to go through all of this because you'll notice I'm going to go now and show what she produced. What she produced. The woman brought forth death, both to seed and non-seed.
Amen.
Cain was serpent seed, and Adam's seed came. Both came through the woman.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
Both three came from the woman. But, amen, one of them had eternal life. So even though the woman brought death in the body, the woman had no power over the seed. I can't hear you.
Amen.
The woman had no, she can only take seed. She does not have power to give herself seed. Amen. And that is why when God came to Mary, amen, and she said, let it be unto me according to thy word. Mary could say nothing more. She was predestinated to that. God was not asking Mary permission.
Amen.
I don't hear you.
Amen.
He was not asking her permission.
Amen.
He chose her, amen, to bring forth life.
Amen.
And I say, amen, as the word was in Mary, that's the secret. And Mary today represents a little group of churches, amen, that are called elect, who represents bringing forth Christ's life.
Amen.
That's the tree of life in your midst tonight, friends. Let us stand. I am going to shorten this service, I promise. I'm getting too old for it. Oh, amen. I feel we'll take a rapture soon, brother.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I believe it's coming on. I believe that this thing is becoming clearer and clearer. You watch yourself. As you get closer to the body of Christ, as you get closer to shepherd and sheep relationship, that's the secret. That's the only place you can get that you know is your shepherd and sheep relationship. Once that shepherd and sheep relationship becomes sweet, become to such a place of love and trust whereby one hurt all hurt in a body. That is the progress. That's the true love. Love is not, you know, Brevan talked about, he said, you know, they think God love was like a parental love. And then he said, but God love is elective. Showing that parental love, the way you love your children, is not the way God love his children in that real way. His real love is elective love first, and then the parental part with what your needs are is met.
Amen.
But the real love is that elective love.
Yeah.
And elective love has to do with bringing you to the will of God for his day.
Yeah.
That's the real elective love, bringing you. And God's will for you today is to partake of this tree, of these fruits, and live. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. God cause his face to shine upon you and give you much grace. Till we meet again, Brother Jones.
Sing the
Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.